sit back and, you know, talk about the list. Talk about the list. You know, funny thing is, we got Bishop the Black Matrix on the list, and he's going to be taking on Robert the Genius in Border Wars 12 in a title shot. And they're labeling that fight David and Goliath because one is so tall and the other so small. So we'll see how that fight plays out. Also on the list, number four, Anthony Cincinnati Cobra Edwards, the Cincinnati Cobra, Anthony Edwards. He's going to be taking on Marvin, who's number one. So the number four takes on the number one. And then the number five is also active. He's going to be facing Mario Munguia, the Tooth Fairy. So this Border Wars, I'm telling you, is producing a lot of action, and you don't want to miss it, honestly. Also, speaking of not missing, we just released Saturday night's fights from Buckhead. It's live on our channel right now if you want to go ahead and check out all that action. You know, you got the DHP fighters, Devin Haney, promotion fighters are on that card. Rydell Supermaze Hayes is on that card. You can see Devin on that card. I mean, you know, check it out. Check out our commentary. Leave a comment. Let us know what you think. Give us that constructive criticism. You know, we're working. We're learning. We're trying to improve here. You know, we're trying to be the best versions of ourselves. And we need your constructive criticism. So you can check that out on the YouTube channel. And let us know what you thought. You know, we're looking for who's next up, man. This episode is about who's next up. Who's going to carry, you know, Border Wars to the next level? You know, we got a lot of participants, but who's going to be a star? Who's going to separate themselves and bring that attention that's needed to Border Wars, you know? Marvin has been our greatest weight loss journey story of Border Wars, you know? He's lost the most weight. He's made the most amazing transformation out of anyone in all of Border Wars, you know. But it's not translating into numbers, you know. Supermex is still a hit machine, even after losing. Even though he's failing in his story, you know, he's not giving the public what Marvin is giving. He's not giving them the hard work and dedication of a person that, you know, truly wants to, you know, get to the next level in their weight loss journey. And yet he's still the one that is being watched the most, you know. He's the one that they are keeping their eyes on. So, you know, something needs to be done. We're looking for who's next, man. Who's next up? Who's going to carry Border Wars to the next level? Who's gonna take us from these 37 live views to 200-300 live views, you know? Is it going to be Brandon in Houston? Is his fight versus Rel going to be the fight of the night to take us to the next level? Will it be Mission Impossible from the Gentleman Driving podcast? Will he knock down the big 300-pound smoke 'em out Jay and send a message to the heavyweight division, to the Border Wars ecosystem, to the people on the sideline wanting to sign up? You know, there's a lot of people that can step it up and really take this to the next level, you know? It's unfortunate because we had some great fighters like Mitty, you know? Mitty definitely knew how to excite the public, you know? He was a fighter that the public would get behind. You know, you got guys like Show Kid that definitely know how to talk the talk and walk the walk, you know? But who's going to take us to the next level? Who's going to be next up? You know, a lot of people in this Border Wars, but who's really going to separate themselves? You know, we've been talking, and it looks like we're going to put a purse on Fight of the Night. We're going to put a goodie bag for Fight of the Night to entice people to fight just a little bit more, you know? Just a little bit more. So that's where we're at, you know? We want to get you to get off that couch, get you to get, you know, the legs pumping, you know? Man, that Discord always need a Lou link, man. I ain't beat. Tell Brandon do that shit. Corny ass Discord. Nah, I'm messing with you. But yeah, man, I don't know what's up. Brandon told me it would never expire, now it expired again, man. Come on. Crazy. We talking Border Wars, man. Let's go to the Border Wars Facebook group, excuse me, and see what's new. See what they're posting in there. You know? See who's doing what. So Eric Cruz, one of the admins, says, for all the new guys posting videos of themselves or others in the group, make sure to include which one of you are the person you're representing. For example, black headgear, red shorts. Make it easier for everyone to know what we're looking at. And that goes for people that are submitting footage, but they're not putting a description as to who's in this footage and who's who in the footage. You know, it's very important that you distinguish yourself so that a possible opponent can check you out. We got a super chat from Protege, who's going to be taking on Chino, a.k.a. Steven Rivera, who says, yo, Ness, who going to fight your number two heavyweight, or should I say cruiserweight? Who's my number two heavyweight? Let's see here. We got all the media here. We got the rankings right here at number two. That's Chino. You're going to fight Chino. Juan, where's your footage, though? They want footage of you, man. When do we get to see something? You know, we got Sean. He's taking on number three. Number two, he's taking on Juan. You know, Rail, number four, he's taking on Brandon from Houston. And in the lightweight division, number two is taking on the former cruiserweight champ, Marvin, for the vacant title. So we got a lot of great fights planned for you. You know, a lot of great fights planned for you. This is going to be guaranteed the best Border Wars ever. Without a doubt, from production to lineup to belts to number of people in the crowd, the list goes on and on of the possibilities that we have for this particular Border Wars to be the best one ever. Got so many returning big names, you know, Keen, Showkid, Vega, Mario, Jose, Marvin, Ant, I mean, Chino, Rel, you know, new faces, Huang, Austin, you know, bunch of Wisconsin guys, brand new. So it's going to be an interesting Border Wars. And we're going to have some very, very, very good fights, man. We got guys like Corey Frank taking on Jerome Lambert. Serious fight. Something you don't want to miss. Real quick, let me just go ahead and shout out my two new members. Shout out to Carl Smith and AI. AI and Carl Smith. Thank you for joining the army. Lids low, what it do? Border Wars, Wisconsin. Border Wars 12 is going down. It will be another classic, I tell you. It will be another classic, without a doubt. That's what I'm expecting. We got Austin with the super chat that says, SDS Star and Pound for Pound King Show Kid by KO come September 18th. You know, it's easy to just say what your fighter is going to do. It's harder for your fighter to do what you say he's going to do. Jordan's never been dropped. Let alone stop. So, bold prediction, but right now a bit on the low probability side until proven otherwise by Showkid. You know, there's a lot of similarities in Shokid and Jordan, even though they may not admit it, but they both got extremely tired and they both held. Whether one held less or more than the other, doesn't matter. Then they both have a slight tank issue that needs addressing, you know, before Border Wars actually comes around the corner when it comes. Right now, it looks like we are possibly within about 42 days away. So hopefully people are starting to tighten up on their camp, you know, get things right, line things up. Hopefully you've been getting your sparring by now, you know, hopefully you've already gotten with your trainer by now. Hopefully you're not waiting for the last minute. Hopefully you're promoting yourself. You know, I watched an interview with Regis that hasn't been released yet because it's a Boxing Voice exclusive. And he said, I realized that a promoter is not going to promote me the way that I'm going to promote myself. A promoter is going to promote me maybe two times a year, maybe three if I'm lucky. If I have three fights, they promote me three times. If I have two fights, they promote me two times. And that's what you guys need to understand, man. Gone and forgotten. Out of sight, out of mind. You know, you have to make yourself someone that the people want to see. You need to submit your footage. You need to call in. You need to pump up your fight. The promoter can only help you promote yourself. He can't make you into a star on his own. We got Matt Machine Gun Garcia that says the entire pound for pound list is on this card. Fire emoji. Yes, we are fortunate enough that everyone on our list, can you imagine if boxing did that? Can you imagine if boxing put everyone on the pound for pound list on one card? How excited we would be. How happy as boxing fans we would be. And that's what we get to do with Border Wars. We get to have our own little world. When it comes to boxing, you know, we get to have our own little world when it comes to boxing. So understand how great of a thing it is that our entire pound for pound list is fighting on this card. This is a throwback to the Don King era without anyone being robbed, without anyone wanting to sue. This is just the great cards that he used to put on top to bottom. Top to bottom, we got heavyweight action. We got light heavyweight action. We got super middleweight action. You know, we got action in every single division that is popping, you know. And if that's something that you're interested in, yeah, I suggest you tune in September 18th right here on youtube.com/TheBoxingVoice where we're going to be having the best fights that Border Wars has ever seen. I want to shout out Marcus for... you know, posting our interview that we did and cutting out that excerpt of Border Wars. You know, really appreciated that. Subscribe to his channel. I'm actually going to post that video in the description. I mean, in the live chat right there in case you guys want
to
check out.
Can you talk to us about Border Wars? Did you talk to it?
Yeah, that was him right there asking the question for me to talk about Border Wars. And just very happy. Just very happy that he did. And I was able to get the word out there and we're able to get Border Wars to number 12, man. We're on number 12, ladies and gentlemen. So it's growing. We're moving forward and it's growing and it's only going to get bigger from here. It's only going to get bigger from here. This will be the biggest Border Wars yet, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I'm telling you. Let's see. Who do we have? We're on the Border Wars Facebook. Let me just show you. You got Marvin the Tank showing you guys that he is working. 42-minute run, 5 miles. So under 10 minutes per mile, obviously, you know. Average pace, 8.5 minutes per mile. That's work. That's that work he's doing. James Payne also working. He's actually having a fight on TriStar Boxing on the 17th, so he won't make it all the way to Border Wars to participate. He's got his own fight on Friday, but nonetheless, Eventually, he'll be in the ecosystem. This is him working with Mustafa Mickens. He's a heavyweight that is under construction, complete novice. He'll have his first fight on the 17th, and then he's already paid to fight in Border Wars. So, heavyweight, beware, because James Payne is coming, you know? And this is a guy that traveled all the way to Atlanta to work with Mustafa Mickens, you know? So, this is a guy that's absolutely taking it serious, you know? So, are you ready for some of this pain? Huh? That's what you got to ask yourself. And he'll be there. He's taking on Ian Vito on Friday. Here's a rematch of the first fight. You got, I mean, this, if they say a picture tells 1,000 words, right? Wow. What is this picture saying to you? Two belt champ, one man with his head down. Hopefully, Anthony doesn't have the same face coming September 18th. Look at Marvin's caption, just in case y'all forgot. Trying to remind Ant of the poor feeling he had when he lost. Up to Ant to do better this time and not fall victim to Marvin the Tank. Now, this is the interview I was telling you. Shout out to Eric Cruz, who posted it in our Border Wars Facebook group. And, you know, shout out to Marcus. Sign up to his YouTube channel for conducting the interview. And look at Santiago here. The pool was closed, he said, and he wanted to get working at Gold. So Santiago's working. Is Supermax working? Look who else is working, y'all. Heavyweight, the number one, what is it, number two heavyweight? Who is number two? This is the number two heavyweight right here? Look at them pivots. You're going to need them pivots to get away from Big Huang. Question is going to be, can Huang move this well? Huang, you see all that movement this guy's doing? Are you going to be able to catch up to him to land your punches? That's the question. Can you cut the distance on this guy? How much of a problem can you be for this guy? Because look at this guy. He moves well. Huang, you know he moves well. I hope you're working. Chino's working. Chino already got people looking at him. Chino, I hope you know Rail's watching you. Rail is watching you. He's dying to fight you. You know, I don't know if he's sleeping on you. I don't know if he thinks it's a great fight, but he's dying to fight you.
You know? Answer the question though. Was Mace ever?
So that's Chino, and look at him here. I mean, wow, he's working out here, fellas. More shadow boxing. You know, more bouncing on the toes, more moving, Huang. More moving going on here, Huang. You better be careful, man. This guy's working. He's 1-0. He don't want to lose. Look at the pad work. Uh-oh, that's Adrian Rowan with him. Uh-oh, Huang. Look at these punches, Huang.
Again.
Uh-oh. Tenacity.
Let's go.
Letting them hands go, Huang. Oh, he wants the uppercut. He calling for the uppercut. Okay, it stopped. It stopped there. They working, though. They working. What we got here? We got some battle ropes. They doing battle ropes here?
Yep.
Oh, he got them working. Yo, who's the big boy over there? We want some of him. One right hand going to stop that real quick. Okay, Huang. So you like Mario. You falling in love with your power. Uh-oh, Mario added a new photo. Let's see. The handlebars. He says, I clap lead. I roll with the chopper longer than Shaq's leg. I got a shooter named Smokey. I tell him, hit everything on the list. My nig, that's Craig. But get your whack ass, get in the gym. Tell him get in the gym, y'all. Where he at? He don't look like he in the gym. I don't see no bag. I don't see no bag, man. This man's
almost
in
there.
The gym.
Keep pushing.
He's in the gym, man. Where y'all at? These guys is in the gym. Who else in the gym? Let's check the Border Wars Facebook group. Say that three times. Okay, so this is JC. James Clark made a highlight reel when he was in the MMA. This is a new fighter. This hot seat fight right here is beef. You know what beef is? Hot seat got a fight right there, man. Look at my man Sean Jones. Another heavyweight on the list, huh? They working, man. Question is, are you guys working? Look at that. Combination punching, pivot, popping a jab. Are you ready? Who's next? Who's next up? That's what I'm asking, man. Who gonna take Border Wars to the next level? You know? Who's going to bring the eyeballs, man? We going out to Austin and Hobbs, New Mexico, real quick. What up?
These calls are brought to you by Big Rigs Trucking Agency, experts for all your insurance and trucking needs. For quotes and consultations, visit us at brtagency.com or contact us at 908-943-6918.
Yo, Austin, what up?
Hey, what up, Ness? Hey, man, what's up with this pound for pound list, bro? We're show kids.
Where's your footage, man? You ain't on the list because you ain't got no footage. Where your workout footage, man?
Nah, me. I said show kid. I mean,
show kid coming off a loss, man. He can't be on the list. Where's your footage, though? Why are you avoiding the question, man?
At the gym, ain't nobody there to hold the phone to record, bro.
What? Come on, man. They sell, like, apps for that. They sell, like, little things you can stick on the wall.
Mean?
Bro, they sell like sticky things to put your phone on the wall, like arms, tripods, all type of shit.
Well, I mean, bro, I'll post some pad work or something. He ain't posting nothing but pad work and that little weak sparring, bro. That's the same sparring I posted with my brother, like just light stuff.
All right.
The real question is why hasn't he given me his number, bro, so I can make this fight poster.
I sent you Adrian's number, didn't I?
Yeah, yeah. And then Adrian said he's gonna reach out, but he ain't reached back out to Adrian, so I don't know, man. He just wants to be 0-0-30.
He know he in your head. That's why he know you worried about what he look like, and you want to talk to him. He just want to beat you up.
Ain't nobody.
You want to take pictures and shit. You talking about let's take pictures so we can make a fight poster.
Nerds, boy, you the narrative nerds, huh? Damn,
I'm just saying. You the one want a picture of him, right? He ain't asking for a picture of you.
Because there's pictures of me. I'm the one trying to promote the fight. What has he done to promote the fight?
More than you. You ain't posting no sparring, man.
Come on, man, bro. Yes, I have. What you mean?
That's not real sparring. That shit is upside down, man.
What?
That shit is fake. His shit is real. His shit is in a gym. His shit is in a gym with headgear versus somebody else.
Versus a 5'4 midget. What are you
talking about, bro? You studying it.
Bro. I got a 15-second jump rope, him trying to learn a combo, and then him trying to learn a combo.
But what about the sparring clip, though? What about the sparring clip he posted?
That wasn't real sparring, Ness. Come on, bro.
You tripping.
Come on, bro. You're,
what is
this? Man, the lies being
this like
right
a
now.
Minute
this
right here. I'm showing it to the world. They watching
exactly
it while you talking.
That's exactly what I gave
you. Ain't give this. First of all, yours was upside down. Nobody can even see who was who.
So
and you sparring your brother.
Clip.
You spawn your brother.
My brother's 6'1", 240. That dude is like... Bruh,
your brother pulled out. Your brother's a duck. Your brother's pulled out. He a duck.
Come on, bro. My brother beats almost every single heavyweight in the division.
Your brother got scared
of Rel.
Your brother got scared of Rel, man. He pulled out, man.
Bro.
We gave him everything he wanted, and he pulled out.
Come on, bro. It's just some shit happened, man. It's just, that just goes to show what SDS Promotions can do. But hey,
yo, he called Rel out, and then he took a vacation.
No, bro. Hey, he's coming back December, bro.
We'll see.
He's coming back.
He said he was back this time.
Hey, all these. Hey, I just want to say something.
Speak on that yet?
Nah.
The Border Wars. Can you talk to people about what is Border Wars? The success of Border Wars. How did that come to fruition? I know you short on time, but can you kind of?
My bad. Go for it.
No, you good? You good, champ? I wanted to talk about how there's all the pound for pound stars on here, but ain't none of them doing numbers on the votes, bro. Like that, everybody want to see me fight. And I mean,
you swayed the votes, man. Everybody knows that.
Come on, but how I swayed the votes?
You sent everybody to, you did what you were supposed to do. You promoted the link. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
But they didn't vote for nobody else because they wanted they could have just easily, you know what, there's Tank. Oh, there's Mario and Jose. Oh,
no, listen, I ain't arguing with you, man. That's why I'm doing a show called Who's Next Up, because, you know,
yeah,
we got dudes that's not you know, doing their part.
Bro, I ain't ducking no shots from nobody. I want this, man. I wanted a tougher fight, bro, but I'm only taking this fight just to get in the
door.
You ain't
want a tougher fight, man. You could get Esteban Angulino right now. You want a tougher fight, man. You know you want your cherry, man.
That's what I wanted from the jump.
You want your cherry, man.
Bro, you're tripping. I called that out from the jump. I called that back out in May.
And what I said, yo, don't try to get in there with Esteban. He too much for you. Get yourself
you're
a little
tripping.
Tune-up first. And you took your tune-up.
No, you gave me Jason Wilson, and then you gave me that 175er because Esteban hadn't signed up again yet. You didn't know, you said.
You were
trying to play the narrative, boy.
But didn't I say, yo, Esteban got X amount of fights. You sure you want to fight him first? Come on, dog.
And you were like, well, I don't know if he's going to come back because he's all the way in Washington. When we was on the phone, he's all the way in Washington. But this is who I do have for sure. And I was like, cool, I'm trying to get on for sure. And then he's like, I got this Jason Wilson. He a professional kickboxer. And then I got this 175er. I was like, I'm trying to say.
Bruh, so you saying you want Esteban? You saying you want some Esteban right now? That's what you're saying.
Man, I'll take Esteban, but would that be fair to Jason? I'm not trying to duck no stars.
Exactly.
I'll take you. Man,
you got Jason. You got Jason, man.
And then I'm going to look bad to Jake. Come on, bro. Either way, you're making me look bad. I see what you're trying to do there.
I ain't doing nothing. You got Jason.
How about this? Jason, this one, and in the December, I'll take Esteban.
Hey, man. I think that sounds like what we talked about off air.
No.
Because
you said Esteban was.
I'm giving you the tune up you asked for, man, because you didn't want
Esteban
right away.
Esteban wasn't going to be at this one. You tried to play me, man. You tried to play me, bro.
Look,
I don't know
about Esteban. Esteban just paid, I don't know how long ago, maybe a week ago. It is fresh that he just paid. So I'm not saying did you right or wrong. Like, I like people to match up. You know, you wait on somebody else, and then Esteban got something going on, and he can't make it. Now you off the card. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, exactly. But
paid, so you heard me telling him on live shows, like, come on, Esteban, what you going to do? Like, I was pushing him to sign back up.
He probably didn't know for sure. Like, that's a long ways to go from Washington to Watertown.
Good build up.
Oh yeah,
I gotta get him an opponent. I need an opponent for Esteban, and if you win, y'all on the same card, and it's built up.
Exactly, perfect promotion for December. Or I could also face my son Jordan Baker in December for some money. We could put some real money on it, but he's scared.
I mean, we'll see, man. Yeah. We'll see. We don't even know if you'll be back after September.
Come on, man. I'm here for the long run, bro.
I hate to say names, but, like, I had dudes calling in talking about they was going to do this and they was going to do that. And, They even on intros and they ain't fighting after they fought.
Nah, bro.
Lost.
Even when I stop fighting, like I wanna still be part of it. Like I wanna still have, like be like a little manager. You know what I'm saying? Trying to get fights for people and stuff. I don't know. It's fun as fuck. So like I'm gonna be here win, lose, draw. Like it's just fun, man. Honestly, it's just like you said, it's like a bowling league. It's just fun, man. Really. But yeah, so I'm here for the long run. Let me see, Elias, bro, and that don't make no sense. He got all his Diaz and Theos to come vote on his video. Just tell
you seem jealous about that.
Yeah, because I should be number one, bro. The real people want to see me, man.
They voted for him, though.
Nah, that was his cousins and shit.
But where's your cousins at?
Hey, I ain't really close to my family that much. I'm close with my
So then, how is that his fault? You gotta get tight with your family, man. It's a sport.
Hey,
you need your fan base.
It's just because we, man. It's a long story, but Showkid should be on the pound for pound list. He'll be back on it.
He coming off a loss, man.
Man, bro, that was the ref and the fighter were on the same team, bro. What you mean? That's not even fair.
George ain't on Mario's team.
So you telling me Doomy wasn't Mario's coach?
Doomy is his coach, but that wasn't the ref. He wasn't the ref. He was the corner. George Monterey, the future mayor, he's the one that ref that fight.
Oh, shit. Damn, I swear, I watched the card. I watched it.
That ain't Doomy. Doomy's in the corner. Doomy ain't the ref. He the corner, man.
I don't know, man. I think Doomy, it was a whole little Aaron Pryor and Alexis Arguello thing happening. And I think after that first round, Doomy gave him a little, you know, he put some sauce in his drink. So, I don't know, man. But, hey, tell Jason Wilson he need to hit me back up, man, if he really want to real. A real fight promoted, but that's
man,
not
he said he said check out his sparring, man.
I already checked that weak ass shit out, man.
That's what got you
call,
nervous.
Man. Shout out SDS. Shout out Hobbs and Mexico.
Yeah, man. That was Austin in Hobbs, New Mexico. He's gonna be taking on Jason Wilson from Wisconsin out that Benny gym. Jason Wilson, this is his sparring right here, actually. This is his sparring here. I'm going to mute that music. So it looks like they're doing... No, it's definitely not combinations. It's not drills. They're just working. But, I mean, it looks light to me. It looks light to me. But Jason looks tall and strong. You know, his left hook, if you notice right there, let me go back. He lands that left hook pretty good. Here we go. Boom. See it right there? Off the pivot. Pop. Pop. Look at my man. He even had to take that right leg back. Pop. He novice. I mean, unless he's not showing Hobbs every day. You know? Austin got to show us what he got. Man, Austin ain't put nothing, but Jason looks tall. You know, he had a good jab there to the body, too. Good stab jab. You got to respect. Look at it here. Here we go. Let's get this zoomed in here. Bop, see him right there? See him right there? Ooh, good straight right, too. Watch the stab jab. Bop! That's going to hurt you, Austin. That's going to hurt. Another right to the body. It's that left hook right here, right? Bap, bap, bap. Bap, bap, bap. Here it goes. Bang. Zoom out. Here's somebody. There we go. Boop. Letting hands go on you, Austin. He letting hands go on you, Austin. You talking about he fooled. You wish he was fooled, man. Where you at? Where your footage at? You got this weird upside down footage, man. That shit, you about to get a fine, man. Don't nobody want that. You the only one on Facebook with upside down footage. I think this dude need a fight too, man. Who want to fight this dude? Let me see. What weight class? He's from Benito's gym. 154. We need a 154-pounder. Who want what? Who ready for a 154-pounder? My man going hard versus Malik. So he the one with the American shorts. Because Malik Johnson is the other.
Let's go, Malik. Push him,
Alanta. Eccles.
So 10 seconds. 10 seconds.
They spawn with no headgear. Look, they tripping.
Let's go, Malik. Fight back, Malik.
Malik tied through all them damn punches. Oh, whack-ass uppercut. What's going on, Malik? So that dude needs a fight, too. Eccles, right there.
We're close. Work, guys. Let's work. Stay close.
These kickboxers. They kickboxers. They're looking for a fight at 154 and 140. Malik is 140, but Malik is too much for rolling with the punches.
Stay close, guys. Stay close. Let's go, Malik. Fight back, Malik.
Who want to fight? I got fighters available, man. I need a heavyweight, too, man. Can I get a heavyweight? Oh, man. I don't want to play this. I need a heavyweight, man. Can we get a heavyweight? Where my heavyweight at? He's down here somewhere. This Malik Johnson, I need a 140. This 140 right here. Donnell pulled out. We need a 140. This Jason right here. This the footage for Austin, little crybaby. No wonder him and Rel get along. Where my heavyweight at, man? He deep in here. Who's this? Sparring, that's Corey sparring. This Ant, we showed y'all that. I'm looking for the heavyweight. Here you go. LJ, the Dawn. Let's see what he got. Good jab. Nice body shot. He can tell he's heavy-handed. He got like 13 fights, man. We need somebody with experience for him. You got to have a tank too, man, because you can tell he let hands go. You don't want to be in there with a big boy. He ain't got nothing to defend you. This is Coach Rivera. This is the dude I want for you, man. I know you're watching. I hope you're just not only listening and you're watching. I thought this guy was perfect for you, man. It would actually be a great fight. Your style, the way you work and the way he works. I think you heavy-handed or more heavy-handed than him, but obviously I'm only watching off the bat. But LJ working here, man. Good double left hook right there. Nice speed. He letting hands go. He not being lazy. It's a perfect fight for you or for my man from Seattle, Washington, Jordan Carter, the heavyweight. He got 8 amateur fights. So we got a heavyweight, man, that needs some sauce. Needs some action, man. The Don right there. That's LJ the Don. Speaking of heavyweights, this Santiago, he going to be taking on you know who. Yeah, he going to be taking on Supermax. We got another super chat from Austin who says, when we getting pound for pound number one and pound for pound number two in the ring? Looking. But number one is Marvin, and number two is like a totally different dude, like a different weight class or some shit. You know, we should be happy that we got all these dudes that are on the pound-for-pound list actually fighting, actually on the same card. That's what's impressive. Looks like Juan in the BX. What up?
Yo, what's good, Ness?
What up?
You can hear me good?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yo, when you used to do these Border Wars shows in Jersey, where you did some shit at?
East Hanover.
Damn. And I wish I would have been down when y'all niggas was doing it over there. Cause I really wanted to do Wisconsin shit, but I hate flying, and my girl already went. Trying to take that week off and shit, but my boss ain't fucking around. I definitely step up.
What's your weight class? Oh, 140?
Yeah, yeah, but I was trying to do the whole thing. I wanted to do four divisions. 140 to 160.
Damn, 140 to 160.
I'm trying to see if I grow a little bit of bigger balls, though, to learn to get on planes again. I ain't gonna front, bro. Ever since 9/11, this shit, every time I get on the plane and it does a little shaky, my ass wants to shake everybody off the damn thing. You can't even walk next to me, like, going to the bathroom, because I get mad, because I feel like if you're big, you're moving the plane and shit, like, weight balance and distribution and all that shit. Like, I don't know. I know a lot of math, and I do a lot of that.
Yeah.
That was that.
Screen sharing, so yeah, some sparring.
I'm going to definitely send you some of my sparring, though, and I'm going to join back to the Patreon and shit. You have to be a Patreon in order to be a Border Wars fighter, right?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, bro, that's what I wanted to know. I wanted to know where in Jersey was it, and pretty much answer all my other questions. So, yeah, bro. I might see if I try to hit that shit up. I've been training. I always train, though. That's my thing.
Drive, man. How far is the drive? How far is the drive?
To Wisconsin?
Yeah.
12 hours.
Oh, well, drive, baby. I drive fucking 15 hours a night. Nothing.
Yeah, nah, I know. I know. I always hear you saying it. Plus, I remember you posting videos and shit before in the past. Are you taking those long-ass trips? So, yeah, bro, definitely down. Like I said, I always stay in shape. I always train and all that. So I'll send you some sparring for a treat.
Yo, we need a 140-pounder for this fight, man. We need a 140-pounder for this fight.
That's what I'm
fight.
Saying. I'm trying to force
and this
is going to
be the best one, man. This is going to be the best. Well, you don't really need your balls. All you got to do is get out early on Friday because the fight is Saturday. And then you leave Sunday.
That's the thing, though. You wanted to meet I was doing a generator job that day.
You work weekends.
Not really, I don't. It just happened to be that weekend, bro, and that shit got me tight. I'm like telling him, like, yo, we can't switch it or, you know, call fucking one of my other guys and shit to do it, but I'm trying to see, though. I'm going to force it on him. I'm going to try to pressure him and I'm getting one of the other guys to come through and take my spot. It was only a generator, it's just nothing serious. It's just a big-ass house, so they just want me to wire the panels. But, yeah, bro. I'll holler at you definitely on Monday and let you know what's good.
All right. There you have it. Juan in the BX. We need a 140-pounder, man. We left Malik Scott. It was supposed to be Donnell. Donnell obviously had a serious issue in the family. You know, we've seen him in Atlanta, and, you know, he's not even going to be working anymore. He's going back to Florida to take care of the family. So, you know, thoughts and prayers with Donnell. But that does leave us 140 pounds short. So, yeah, man, I'm just going through the Facebook group, seeing what's been posted. This is the Supermax Silent Killer fight. Let's watch that, right? Let's see. Look, let's see. 929 views. Okay, that's more than Marvin and Rail's fight, right? Shit, what's up with that? Marvin and Rail need to step it up, man. Numbers in the basement, man. I miss Enrique at the stage.
We are back with Supermax Rodriguez from Texas.
Why is there an echo right now?
Versus.
I wonder if that's going to fix itself in time. Let's get into this, man. Let's fast forward, man.
In front of the camera.
There you go, fix.
So,
you know what I'm saying?
Oh, shit. It is on. Fight.
Here we go. Here we go.
Big boy status, Andy Ruiz.
And just let's go back again, man, because this is what I was telling Santiago.
In front of the camera.
This is what I'm telling Santiago. We're going to go frame by frame. Look how fast Santiago comes out the corner. Look how slow Mex comes out the corner. Santiago is meeting Mex. He could make Mex work more the entire first round. He could take it off and make Mex chase him. This way, Tex-Mex is tired by the second round.
Fight.
So look, so you see, he threw the first jab. Mex pulled counter. And, you know, so basically so does Santiago, right?
Big boy status.
But he's the one. Look, he's the one in the center of the ring.
Andy Ruiz brought
he's the one.
Out.
Look. setting the pace. Ooh, wow, he set him up with the pump fake to the body. Look at Mech's face right there. He closed his eyes when he got hit with that one.
Ooh, Santiago
woke his ass up. But see, right there, he should have pivoted out this way towards Doomy. Instead, he's going towards the corner.
He
put himself in the corner, but Mech didn't even lock him in. So again,
Santiago almost
take
him
some
down.
Room. Bounce around right here. See, you got some room. Take another step back. Make this big motherfucker walk to you. I'm telling you, man.
On his experience,
look,
man.
He's still bringing a fight to Mech. Back up. You see? Yo, he right hooked the shit out of Super Mech and followed up with a left. Yo.
Holy.
But you see right there, don't give Mech what he wants. Tie him up or pivot out. Look, he's standing there. He giving him what he wants. No. Tie him up. Pivot out.
They're going in. Nobody's stopping.
He about to knock Mech. He knocked Mech's headgear off.
Oh, whoa. What's going on?
Yeah. That shit was fight of the night.
Yes. Yo. That's what we talked about. Right there.
See, but I don't like how the clock keeps going.
Yeah, we got to stop the clock in between rounds.
Oh, man. Can't pause the clock. What's up? Here we go. See, the ref said he would stop after six punches. I think that was about
letting hands go.
Yeah, they were both letting go. But, you know, six punches.
Now look at Mech trying to use some footwork, you see? Now Mech is using footwork.
Now Joseph went to plan B.
Yeah, he sure did.
And now look, Santiago's just waiting.
Left on Santee. Oh, there he goes.
How they both wearing the same color? Did they plan that shit?
Oh, okay. He caught that power. Going at it.
Good one, too, by Santi. But you see, there you go. Nice way to back up. Good slip under. Back up right there. You see? Make some room. He got to make room. He's got to make these adjustments in the second fight. He can't keep doing the same thing. You know what I'm saying? He's got to get in and get out, Pacquiao style. Boom, boom, 1-2. Make Joseph fucking move.
26 seconds.
Look, make him move. Make him follow you. Pop the jab and keep moving. There you go. Pop the jab. There you go. Keep moving. Oh, set him up.
Punchy.
Use the whole ring. There you go, Mech. There you go. Santiago doing it right now. See? And it's going to force Super Mech to sell out. He's got to look. He's going to dart it. Oh! Yes.
Oh, Santiago's confidence is all.
Listen, and Santiago is training very hard. He's swimming. He's running. He's doing jump rope. You know, Mech, he's coming back off a long layoff, off a knockout. And he's the heaviest he's ever been. So, yes, Doomy is the ref, Deluxe Recordings. Mech, he's got a lot to prove, man. He's got a lot to prove. If we go to the poll, it's super close, this fight. Like, the next fight, rather. The rematch is super close. Super close. Shandu, I see you working, man. I need 140 pounds and it's 37, Shandu. Oh, my God. That's the fight for Shandu. That's the fight. Let me go back to the audio, see what we got.
Owning the fight.
Yeah, but
when the gas pedal was pressed.
I think Joseph almost dropped Santiago. So, like, he should have got points for that. Like, Santiago was all off his feet.
Well, you know, that's what the judges are for. I saw a different. He didn't fall, and he kept going. So, he kept his deal.
Here we go.
Mech trying to you. Oh, good straight left he lined him up with.
Damn.
Yeah, man.
I like that. Yo, Mech ain't ready. Mech ain't ready for the combinations of Santiago. Man. Tell this judge next to you so that they could go 20 more.
We started 20 seconds.
Another straight left. Oh. Bruh, Mech ain't got, Santi ain't got no power, though. He hitting them with all these lefts. Uh-oh, bad camera view. Here we go.
Oh, hold him with the hook. Oh shit.
Mech hit him with some big shit. But something hurt Mech. You seen his leg? Uh-oh. Watch this. Watch Mac's leg. Wait till it turns around. Wait till the camera view turns. Now watch his leg. You see that? He got hit and fucking got wobbled, bruh.
55.
I think now.
What was it? A short left? Is it a short right? It looked like two right hands off the ropes laying on Supermax.
He looked at the clock. 54 seconds, really 75 seconds.
But you see, Santiago got to push the pace. Supermax dead tired right now. Look at him. Push it. Look at that punk-ass jab Santiago threw. What is that? He wasn't trying to land. Look. That's nothing. What is that?
I haven't been following his career.
Come on, man. What is that?
With the fungal excitement.
Yo, what is that? Come on. Both of them just waiting. Look. Oh, my God. That was, yo. He said, Mac's got more power, but is he going to land it?
He's here. He's like, yo.
Oh.
That's a count.
They ain't give him no count.
Wow.
Yo, Doomy just broke the action for no reason. No
count.
Oh, wow. Yo, did y'all think that was a knockdown? We might have to do a poll. Was that the Supermax? Let me go to the YouTube, bro. Did Supermax deserve a knockdown right there? Or 8 count, right? Did Supermax score a standing 8 count? What y'all think? Yes, no, man. Let's go back to the tape, though. That was a good little scrap, man. They funny as hell, these dudes. They got the move, man. They got to get that shit together, though. Like, Santiago was really just waiting, you know? Supermax, you got to jump on him, man. You could jump on him and it's over. Santiago got it. He got to look at that Smoke Him Out J tape and jump on this dude.
Round with the promoter, Nestor Gibbs, Alexander Dunn.
Let's see, man.
Supermax of leather from the Super. There's this one, man. It's a big.
10 seconds. Damn, Doomy, you look the skinniest hell in this one, right, y'all? Doomy, thin. This is third round right here, right?
But it's a big fight going on, man. It's a big fight. Let's stay focused.
Yo, this is the beginning of Border Wars. Look, we was in the gym. BX, you asked where we was at. This New Jersey right here. This was the beginning. That gym don't even look like that. That gym is so beautiful now.
Ate a lot of leather from the Supermax.
Yeah. They both taking time off.
Good
jab by Supermax. But he don't got, like, yo, his combination punches only comes when he's, like, falling into this fighter. You know what I'm saying? I think Santiago puts it together a little bit better, but there's no power on his shit. Oh, my God. Look, that's Santiago. Santiago can't do that. You can't just sit there and give Supermax the fight he needs. Damn, Max, they knocked it. That's because your chin all big. You getting your fucking head getting knocked off, man. You better lose that weight.
That might be a strategy to catch your breath. Super Max.
Yo, who's next on the docket?
Next on the docket is
Ricky
Swift Davis.
Yo, look, they ain't even pausing the clock. It's just running.
Daniel Fernandez.
Yeah, we gotta get a handle on that. We're going to have to pause clock in between these.
Here we go. Here
in
we
between
go.
These little things, man, because it's killing it.
Bruh,
that's garbage, man. That's garbage.
Here,
half the round went in headgear adjustment.
Here we go.
Look at Supermax, how tired he is. Come on, man. Jump on him, Santi. Look at him. He's just circling the ring. Nah, man. Max ain't making it three real rounds with a real, like, with somebody. Like, if you push the pace, Max ain't going three real rounds, man. He ain't going three real rounds.
Looking too good as he did against Sakamafungo.
Wow, camera view.
Stoppage. We might not need that additional 20 seconds.
Max the bigger puncher. If he lose some weight, so he damn. Yo, that was like three straight right hands. Doomy's a monster. No standing eight? Look, he still don't give you a stand. Why the fuck he stopped the action if he ain't going to? Yo, do me out of control, yo. How the fuck he stopped the action and didn't give these motherfuckers a standing eight? Mex deserve a standing eight. Look at this shit. Oh my God. Oh my God. Right here. And look, he about to jump in. Like, hold up. Chill. I'm breaking this shit up. Nah, hold up. You all right? Yeah, all right. No standing A. I'm just fucking up the action. I'm a fucking weirdo ref. What the fuck? Bro, do me just tripping right now. Now I know why Santiago mad. I mean, why Super Meg's mad. He felt he got a stoppage. Do me a monster. He's trying to murder Santiago. And Santiago's face, he ain't nothing like Linares. My man don't bleed. He don't bleed, bruh. Super Max landed like three super right hands. Bruh, he landed like three super right hands. And that's crazy, yo. Yo, but Max, you got to get it together, man. You got to do more, man. Look at Southside Deucey, man. Won the belt, never back, man. Shit, whack, man. Where you at? Come defend that strap, man. This is the Donnell fight. He bodied. I don't even like watching that because he killed Ricky. Oh, my God. This is the Deucey fight. Deucey took this win and dipped. You took this win and you dipped. And Lauren never came back after this fight, man. Word is gone.
Deucey, Kansas City, Missouri, step up.
Oh, shit, it's about to happen.
Uh-oh.
Ready?
Let's see.
Yo, let's keep counting. Let's make sure we take a look at that clock. Let's not fuck up the clock.
Southside Deucey. Lauren,
this was a serious fight, bro. This was so built up on the podcast, it was crazy.
Well, let's find out.
Look, we ain't even switched the camera. We so excited. Look, we ain't switched the camera.
Okay.
Ooh.
Oh, body shot.
Good jab to the body.
Yeah, he's showing.
Oh, okay.
Over the top.
Counter by Deucey. Look, I just switched the camera. And Lauren was being a bully, man. If Lauren could be good, if he stopped being so confident. He puts his hands down. Look, but a good double jab, you know, he just makes a lot of mistakes. But he's intimidating. He's a tall. Look, hands down. Don't do that. Why are you trying to act all brave? You know, keep your guard up. Work off that jab. When he works off the jab, look, see? He gets in when he works off the jab. But then he gets crazy. He got wild. He got too brave. He had the Conor McGregor tattoo.
Just don't go to that camera.
Good jab there. He had to shoot the straight right down the pipe right there.
Lauren needs to let the right hand go.
That's what I'm saying. Look, I said it in the past. I'm saying it in the future. Look, hands down, don't do that. He getting cocky for no reason, getting desperate. Just work. Work behind the jab.
I'm going to tell you right now, I like that from Deucey. You see Lauren trying to give you the chin, trying to make all these antics. Hit the body. That shit ain't going nowhere.
He's showing he is experienced.
Good jab by Deucey.
That is.
Hey, listen, Deucey got this round in the bag already unless Lauren could do something big. And we got 31 seconds left.
Lauren, the one with the tattoo.
This was a 160-pound fight.
Deucey trying to put him down.
Patient.
Oh, whoa. Oh, what the fuck was that?
That's 10-8.
That was a big shot.
Bruh, he wanted a fall.
Nah, he squatted. Oh,
squatted.
He used that distance.
Yo, Deucey could keep him at bay. That's crazy. That's crazy.
Wow, good round. I scored that for Deucey.
This fight was so crazy, too, man. Fucking Deucey disappeared, though.
You know, Deucey's corner is just cool. He's calm.
Lauren had first
time, but he just looks more prepared than Lauren.
Well,
more calm than Lauren.
Deucey's coming out the corner different right now.
I think he's coming to get him out of here.
Yeah, he's coming different. He's like, his confidence is dead. Lauren has to really go in with that jab and stop clowning.
Yeah. Damn, you seen the power he threw on that left hand to the body?
Deucey, look how low he stays. He reminds me of Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards fights like that.
Oh, yeah. which is the
I
next
like
fight.
The jab to the stomach.
You know what,
from
though?
Ducey, man. I like what I'm seeing. This guy is really
I got to stop this. These dudes ain't been around in a minute, man. We're going to go to the Marvin fight. Marvin and Keem, they both fighting this time. You know what I mean? That's who we got to go to. We got to give a shine to the people that's fighting right now. Let me see. We got Florida, right? Florida Border Wars. That was Marvin. I don't know. Look, they both fighting.
Throwing a lot of punches.
Look at what I done came into. My man Showkid putting him down. Look. Bang.
Ready?
Let's go. My man Showkid. As soon as I come in, Showkid put him down.
Yeah.
3 seconds left. Fight. Fight hard, fight clean.
So where is my man's in them? Pete Toledo right there.
I think for the most part, the gold court. Round number three, third and final round. Watch your head.
Oh, this was Corey Frank. Look at Corey headgear. That headgear crazy. He needed some bigger headgear. Oh, man. Guillermo was a buzzsaw. This fight was crazy.
I hope DeMarcus doesn't punch him. Great job.
Here we go. We about to get up into...
Last and final.
Everybody was
nice. Another great guy. Like I said, all these.
Damn.
This is the main event.
There we go. Main event, baby. Here we go. Let's go. Info
fighting
Joe.
Out of the red corner. Standing at 5'9". Weighing in at 100.
Showcase holding the belt.
On Keem, yep.
Now, I think I'm gonna pause this shit all through this fight because people didn't give Keem his respect, man. That's my motherfucking Border Wars Lomachenko, man. Watch this shit, man. Let me fill this in right, man. I'm gonna give y'all the full fill. Bing.
Yep.
With the two belts.
Ice girl, why he's selling Keem down like that?
Because he's ready to go.
Why Showkid still in the ring holding the belts? Like,
why
Showkid was still in it? Hey, Showkid, when I come back, I need you to hold my belts like that. That shit looked official on the tape. But look at Keem. All right? Let me get my hand on the thumb. All right, boom. Look at Keem movement. Get out of here. Made you miss. Made you miss again. That's four times. Made you miss again. Lomachenko style. Jab to the body. I got mines. I'm out. Head movement. Made you miss. Look. Made you miss again.
Partially blocked by Furman.
Where you at? Where you at? Look, block that. Right hand. Look, right hand.
Right hand.
What you saying? Look, I'm right in your face. What you saying? I just don't think people know what the fuck they was watching trying to disrespect Keem. Look, he right there walking the bigger man back. Hands down. Look, dip back, head movement. Look.
Good pivot by Marvin. They got to reach.
Showing off.
Good jab there by Marvin. But look, clinching. He fake clinched and then jab Marvin. Another jab on Marvin. You know what I'm saying? Look.
Hook by Marvin.
I don't know. Look, right hand again.
Not too much.
Another jab.
It's like an arm punch. Moving nicely.
Look at that. Dippity dip.
This is going to be a hard fight to score.
Very hard fight. Very hard fight.
Look, dipped again. Look. I'm just saying, y'all.
Marvin is definitely on the jab, man. He's definitely on working the jab.
Yeah, Marvin's working the jab, but is he landing it?
Man, Keem's head movement is amazing, bro.
Look, jabbed him again. Jabbed him again.
Touching him to the body.
Jabbed him. Right hand over the top. Right hand over the top. They disrespecting him, bro. They robbed. Yo, listen. Listen. These dudes don't watch boxing, man. These dudes don't watch boxing. But listen, we know that they both going to be back. They both going to be back on this card. So we'll see who does what, man. We'll see. You know, Keem was 1-0 in this fight, man. He did a damn good fight right here with a 4-0. Oh, another right hand. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yo, I'm telling you, man. Did they watch it? Look, this is what they gave Marvin a round for. The end of the those little two body shots. Like, yo, you won. Nah, man. Look. Show me clean work, man. Thank you. You seen Keem get that round. See? Show me clean work. Telling you, man, shit crazy, bro. That head movement was problems. Look, this is what they gave him the fight for. They even did a replay, see? They gave him that round because of that. That's not how you score a round. What about everything else that was going on? You know what I'm saying? But it is what it is. You know, you win some, you lose some, you move on from there. But I'm personally looking for a dominant performance out of Marvin because, you know, for me, you got two tight fights. You got the rail fight was tight. And then you got this Keen fight. It's tight. It's tight. So, Showcase, what you mean this is sad? Oh, Matt, I'm capping. So, yo, look, Salt Gang said Keen won that round. Whew, another jab. Look, I don't even want to watch this no more because people, they hating. They hating. We're going to go to Jordan then. We're going to go to Jordan. They hating.
Want to give us and we have Coach Kelly going to be in the corner with him.
We're going to go to Jordan Baker.
Yep.
He coming for show, kid.
Definitely been making it happen, man. I wanted to bring the Border Wars ecosystem right over here simply because he has some fantastic amateurs that I think need to be.
Look at them IBO medallions. You got one? Is you ranked in the IBO?
Yep.
Don't make it.
To have a place, to have a place to go is amazing, man. Right.
Bro, just show kid, watch how he knock off the headgear of your man. This is gonna be your face.
Yeah.
So we're gonna see if there's any rust.
Any ring rust?
Any? I don't
know. Cruz, when you coming back, man? You out here capping for your man Marvin, man. When you coming back?
Yes, he does.
Pop fight.
Ended
in knockout.
Yep. There we go.
Seems loose. Definitely the bigger man.
Yep.
Jordan got to learn to set up the power, man. He got to learn to set up that power. Look, what is he about to do? Why he feel like he about to punch swim right now? Calm down, man.
As long as he doesn't let the anxiety get to him, maybe we have ourselves a fight that lasts a little bit longer than the first round. My clock. Start the clock. Who's on the clock?
He needs to set up the power.
Jeldy. Anybody? Keem, hit that clock, baby. Hit that clock.
And now we're waiting on the clock.
Here
we go.
All right. Twin already coming out, jabbing.
Oh, my God. Look at that uppercut Jordan tried. Yo, why Jordan know his headgear fell off? He still tried to land an illegal shot.
Uppercut. Now, normally you don't see people leave.
Look at this uppercut.
Uppercut right out the gate.
He led with an uppercut.
But he snapped that headgear right
like
off.
Yo, Twin could take a punch, let me tell you.
Which is what? No.
Twin could take a punch because Jordan, he hit him with no headgear. After he knocked the headgear off, it was another right hand, no headgear.
He took some patience.
And he took that.
You can tell he's looking for the counterpunch and the big counterpunch at that.
Jordan, Show Kid, I don't know why you're saying I'm capping. You should let me speak highly of Jordan.
Let me mute this over here.
You should let me speak highly of Jordan so when you win, your win look like something. I mean, if you want me to say that he ain't good, I say he ain't good. That's what you want. I think he good. Look at that straight right there. Good right hand by Twin. See, but if Jordan just worked that jab, but look, he getting into the street fight, man. Gotta keep it together, man. Gotta keep it together. Work the jab. Pop the jab. Pop the jab. Stop reaching. Look, he went straight for the right hand. And let me tell you, Jordan got a bum leg. Like, why is he falling all over the place? That's because of that surgery. He wasn't even ready to be back. Hopefully he's 100%, but you can tell he can't – look, he got to keep clinching because he can't stand right. Ooh, another right hand. Damn. Right hand to the body. Uh. Yeah, he leans in a lot, Salt Gang. Remember, this is novice. Everybody novice. You know, Jordan need to work. He not working. That's what it is. If he was working, he would do better with that jab. He's nice and long, and he's got natural pop. Yeah, yeah, Showkid, he got a bad knee, man. He got a bad knee. You get at that knee in the first round, he might be going down by the second. Jordan, yo, that uppercut Jordan tried to lead with, that shit was hilarious. I don't know about that, German. Showkid got hit by Mario and decided to quit, man. So it could be the same thing with Jordan. Like, he, you know, he an old man. He could take a shot and be like, oh, I don't want to be here no more. Because, like, he knocked Mario down, then Mario knocked him down, then he quit on the stool. So it was him who stopped. He could have kept going. We're going to have to see. And Mario delivers his punches different than Jordan. Jordan is straight down the pipe, man. Hell yeah, they're going to need better cardio. That's the problem. That was Jordan's downfall, is the cardio. But I think it's his leg, man. You see, he ain't got no balance. He got no balance. I think he's afraid of his leg, or it's still bothering him. Is it me or what? I think, look, his leg, I don't think his leg is there. That motherfucker might need to wear a brace, man. Or he's, I mean, because it don't look like tired, right? Anybody, what y'all think, right? It look more like the legs is not there. He keep trying to hold. Damn, them pants high as hell. Okay, he looking tired, though. He definitely, pull the motherfucking pants down. He reaching like a motherfucker. Yo, Showkid, if you catch him reaching, Lord, he might fall right there. Yeah, he did have COVID coming into this fight. That's absolutely true. He wasn't even allowed back into the gym without a positive COVID test. I remember that because I was training with him for this fight. But he, you know, he was sparring better than this. He looked like his legs ain't there because, I don't know. He heavy on his legs is the best I want to say. He said, why Twin got softball socks on? He was about to go pitch a game afterwards, man. Yo. This Jordan Baker. I mean, look, he not even really breathing heavy over there. So I don't know. Is he tired or is it the leg, man? That's all we need to know. Let's see what they talk about. Nothing. He said he had COVID, one leg. Any more excuses tonight, Roy?
So Francis, man, you are
you funny, man. But, you know, the thing is that you talked a lot in that Mario fight and then you quit, man. So all that tough shit, that don't even matter no more. Now you like half tough, half talker. We don't know what's what. But damn, Showkid, he came out here like a buzzsaw, Jordan did. He might have to take your head off on this one.
He said, you're not going to take me out in front of all these people. Oh, he leaps in with the Marquez left hook, and now Jordan can barely see from his head. This is a good fight, ladies and gentlemen. We got two Floridians going.
I don't know what Supermax sent me. He trying to send me scorecards. Though, you better get the win, man. You better get the win sending me scorecards from last fight. Get your win, B. You know what I'm saying? Get your win and get your wind. Get your win and get your wind. Carlos Diaz, what up? Jordan dead tired, man. We don't even want to watch that shit no more. My man holding like a mojo. I think didn't who fought first?
5'7" weighing at 100.
Nah, that ain't that. So what is show kid fight? Oh, this ant fought. This was shit was born right here.
Seconds left to go.
30 seconds
left to go. Round number one. Ant tried to one.
Ant
tried to 1-2.
Ant
tried to 1-2 again with
the. I don't know how Ant gonna fight Marvin. I think that's why Marvin picked him. This style could never beat Marvin, in my opinion. I don't know what y'all think. Ant is the all white. Obviously, you know who Marvin is. He's not in this fight, but that's who he'll be fighting. And I don't know. I just think that wide stance of Ant, you know, he's there for Marvin to crash into and do the inside work. But, you know, it's a good round for Ant. And I think he came out and he established his dominance, and then it kind of took away the willpower. Oh, good right hand there by Ant. I mean, Adrian. Yeah, man. We'll see. This is the rematch that Ant won, and he felt Marvin was ducking him. But I don't know. You know? Is he going to be enough for Marvin? Because Marvin definitely punches. You know, Adrian not really letting his hands go a lot. Yeah. You know, Marvin's a different animal. He threw 44 jabs, or punches rather, in the third round of the Keane fight, you know? It's going to take some more. And you see, Ant already got tired. Now he's on the defense, you know? Not much of nothing there, just moving. Look, just moving, not punching. Look, faking it. Look, faking it. Just buying time, wearing the clock down. And this is what I mean. This got real boring. After he established his dominance and Adrian didn't want to get within range. You see how far back he is? He didn't want to get within range because he knew there was danger within a certain range. You know? But, Showkiss says he's on the line. What up, champ?
Yo, you gonna stop slandering my name, man?
I ain't saying nothing about you, man.
Come on, man. You trying to hype up these Florida boys. I understand Keem. You know, at least Keem fighting the champ. First of all, Jordan Baker fought a 50-year-old dude. Then he fought a twin that's 40 and like 120 pounds. It was getting caught. What he gonna do when he fight me, man? For nobody with power.
You 40.
No, I'm 40 in a rough. That little cute style he do, I'm not twin. I'm not standing there when he throwing them that damn telegraph straight right. That shit not happening.
I'm holding him, grabbing.
I might throw his ass across the ring.
Listen, Adrian had a lot to say. Adrian had a lot to say. He can't. But I'm just saying, Adrian had a lot to say about Ant, and then he was scared to get within range. When y'all get hit with that power, y'all get scared.
What power? Everybody I fought had power. The first dude I fought was a heavyweight. Mario got power.
You quit in the Mario fight.
Conor McGregor quit. I had a medical issue. I didn't quit.
A medical issue?
You did a whole show with my tooth. Now I quit. Now I just like, yo, you know what? I had enough. Mario is just too great. There's no way Jordan Baker can fuck with me on no level.
I mean, we'll see, right? You know what I mean? He's taller, he's longer.
How you 140 and you tired? I was tired in my first fight. That was more like anxiety in my first. I wasn't tired in the Mario fight. He was tired his last fight.
Yeah, he was tired, but he had COVID. He legit had COVID.
This nigga said he had COVID his knee. Nigga, I'm 40 with two bad knees. I get army disability for my knees. I don't bring that shit up like, oh, my knees. Come on, man. Stop.
Hey, well, that, yeah, well it's a good it's a good fight because he got a fucked up knee too. If you watch
it's
his first
fight,
he had the brace.
He's a good little man. He should have took somebody that was small like him, no muscles, who don't hit hard. He should have took another old dude. I'm not Twin, man. Twin 125 pounds. And Twin was
You old though. You old though. You 42.
I'm old and good. You old too, and you was the champ, right? I'm old and good though. You know, Mario. First of all, I didn't lose a round. I fought five rounds. I ain't lost a round yet. I had a medical situation. Y'all took advantage of that blind referee who was cheating me, Mario's cousin.
You funny,
you know what I'm
man.
Exactly. Doomy ref every rep of mine. He was in there screaming all on the ring. You had to warn him, get out the ring, Doomy. Scared for Mario's life. Come on, man. Stop the cap, man.
I just don't get why you quit, man. You was almost there.
That was all Mark Breland, man.
I know, man. They hit you with the spike water.
It was the inexperienced corner. I told you the first round when my shit was fucked up. I'm like, yeah. I told him, I'm like, yo. He's like, yo, go one more round. So after the second, it was like, okay, one more round, and it was just like a. He didn't really know, so he didn't realize that it's only three rounds, 2 minutes or whatever.
Mm. So you saying your tooth got knocked out in the first fight, in the first round?
First round, yeah.
Damn.
I like the way you said that, man. I had a medical situation in the first round, man.
Yeah, the doctor had to extract your tooth.
You see what it was? The first round, I should have had like 2 8 counts on Mario because I had like 20 unanswered punches, but the ref was his cousin. If we would have had the real ref, but he wanted to be a coach all of a sudden.
The real ref.
I want to meet the ref and the judges before I get in there, man. I don't know if you have the power with me in Austin, you know what I'm saying? See, you got a problem with greatness.
I ain't got no problem with greatness, man. I'm just saying you quit in your last fight, and until you get past that.
Okay. Okay, your boy Keen lost, and you trying to do video replays about this dude being Marvin. This is the second
But it's like it's like you said, he fought the champ.
I agree. He had a great fight. But you don't do it. It's a lot of dudes who claim they won, dude. Rail said he won against Marvin.
I don't see you now, Rail, we play. Yeah, we just played Rail shit last show with Marvin.
You be talking shit about Rail. Keem, you be up here talking about Keem beat Marvin. The dude lost. Get over it, man. Just like Jordan going to lose. I don't want to see no playback. He going to lose. A loss is a loss, man. You can say I quit. But dudes got their ass whooped by three rounds. I've seen dudes go to sleep. That's never happened to Show Kid. I never lost a round. I had a medical situation.
But even medical situations, those are, you know, medical
this
situations.
I mean, you could be winning 11 rounds in the 12th round and dude could knock your eye loose. Shit happens. But don't act like there's somebody out there fucking with me. Don't mislead the fans like I ain't do my thing up in there. That's what I don't like. Y'all can talk about the tooth, but talk about me whooping some ass, too.
I mean, none of that matters if you quit.
I don't like this terminology. You gonna find you another word you could use. I ain't quit. My corner man doing the towel. Just like Mark Breland. Wilder didn't quit. Did you say Wilder quit?
Your corner man didn't throw in no towel.
Now, y'all did a whole show laughing at how far he threw the towel across the ring. Why you just smoking, man?
But didn't you quit before he even threw the towel? You was on a stool.
That was between the rounds. He threw in the towel.
Damn, how you gonna throw it while you on the stool?
When I told him my tooth. And he's like, yo, go out there and knock him out.
But why would he throw it when you're on the stool? You might as well just tell the ref, like, yo, we ain't coming out.
I don't know. He been watching movies, man. It ain't like he a boxing coach.
My man on the corner already threw that shit across.
You don't see how hard I went out the second round? Because he was like, yo, just knock him out in the first round. Then if you can't continue. So he just, like, threw it in. Like, he just figured that. He didn't realize I was winning. Like, he don't know how to go.
Wow. That's crazy. I mean,
lucky,
they
man.
Say
so
they saying it's called the stoppage. They saying the real term is stoppage.
Okay, I can go with that. We ain't gonna never. Don't worry, man. September, you're gonna be calling me champ, so it don't matter. I'm gonna be getting another medallion, so y'all can run with that if y'all want to.
Word.
Have fun with it. You are gonna have respect for me and Austin after September, man.
Yeah, man. Yo. I'm here. I want you. I want you to.
I understand.
Get in
you like Bob Arum, man. You like Bob Arum with Crawford, man. And Tio, you don't seem to love your greatest fighters, man. You
what
went
you
Loma,
mean?
You know what I'm saying? You like King Loma. Me and Austin is Tio and Crawford, man. You don't want to. I don't know, man. You don't like winners, man.
Bruh, I promoted you to the biggest fight of your career, man. What you talking about?
I don't know, man. I don't feel the love. You moved to Florida. You kind of changed on me. I don't know, man. I'm going to get you back on your East Coast. I'm going to have you in Thames after September, man. You forgot. It's okay. I forgive you.
I'm trying to find this for you. That's what it is, man. Hold on here.
Find what?
Somebody made something for you. They said, yo, this for show, kid, man.
Oh, you talking about Brandon, the intro?
Nah, I'm talking about my man who made this for you.
I'm better than you. I hit harder, and you have no heart. You have no chance at winning. Anything athletic cannot beat me at. Marbles, nothing. Ping pong, nothing. Except eating a hot dog eating contest. If you grew up with me, you would be in shape, because I would have been taking your lunch money.
I mean, I don't know that I love it. What about you? I like Shy. The words. I think we need another beat, right? A better beat.
Yeah, we need a harder beat. I'm too hardcore. I need another, you know what I'm saying? I was like a pop beat. I need some mob
yeah.
beat type of beat.
Yeah, that was too.
Yeah, Mario, he won the fight, but he damaged goods. I don't think he ever going to look the same after getting the ring with me. You know what I'm saying?
I
he
mean,
took too much punishment.
We'll see.
You
I don't
see?
Know. He in a tough fight, man. He
training.
In a tough fight. Yeah, me neither. He in a tough fight. I don't know. I don't believe
like,
he's training
he
either.
Joe kid hit hard. I could just beat this dude. I think he about to do a Ruiz on us.
I agree. I think that he is so high off of the win with you that he's not taking it serious.
See? That should have told the truth. You ain't win a round. You got lucky, Mario. Nah, y'all want to tell him he stopped choking, so, you know, that's what you get.
Yep. But, Show Kid, I'm here, man. I'm going to let you go. You are the last caller. And this was a spontaneous Border Wars show, ladies and gents. Catch us on the next one, man. Ness GTO, Instagram, and Twitter. Peace.
Depends on when Doomy's getting there and if he's willing to pick you up.
because if he's willing to pick you up, because you can always say, yo, are you willing to pick me up? Do you want to go half on the car? Like, I mean.
Okay, before any of that, I gotta get that Thursday for sure, right?
I mean, because Friday's the way. No, I'm saying you can get there Friday for the weigh-in. I mean, if you can't get there Thursday, I'm getting there Thursday because I think for us it's like very hard to get a Friday morning flight.
Yeah.
And I don't want to miss the weigh-ins. I gotta.
It's actually cheaper for me right now because I sent you the whatever I sent you, right? It was 4:30 or whatever the fuck it was. I ended up paying an extra 50 so that I could move to the seat up. Well, then they upgraded me for that because they ran out of seats on there. So I had like a perfect flight. I was good. It's Ash's flight that got fucked up now. So either I'm going to push my flight back for free, you know, no charge or nothing, or we're going to cancel hers on Friday, pay an extra 100 for her to leave on Thursday. Those are like the only other options. Okay, so I'm good either way. If you're saying, like, okay, I can come down Friday, then that's cool. I'm good with that. I'll figure the rest of that out. But the other big thing for us, we've been dragging our feet because I didn't know what to do. I thought Dumi was going to talk to you. I don't know if Barbie doesn't want to stay or we're staying.
She doesn't.
Dumi said that she wouldn't like it.
She doesn't want to stay there, I heard.
Okay, so then what are we doing? Because she's talking about an Airbnb that's like $200 a night.
I'm staying at the bed and breakfast where it's paid for by George and I like it. They cook for me. I don't have a problem with that. I'm not about to make an extra expense. I can't afford it.
I'm not gonna lie, this is like the drama shit that I did not want at all with the girls, but
what happened?
I mean, I would rather fucking do that too. Like, I'm gonna spend $200. You dog, that's fucking $400 for a fucking trip to Wisconsin when I could stay at the bed and breakfast and have a delicious fucking breakfast.
And George is paying for it.
That's what I'm saying.
And
what am I gonna do with this? I mean, like, okay, well, I guess I'll figure that shit out. I just wanted to know what you were doing. I mean, like, these are decisions that I gotta make. I'm not asking you to make for me, but
no.
At the time, I need, you know, the input to see what you're doing because
I mean, as far as I know, I'm staying in the bed and breakfast. I don't have any problem with it. Dumi did say that he's sure his girl isn't going to want to stay there. So, you know, and listen, he's gonna cater to her, man. You know, he's got to, you know, because she, yeah. I don't know. Honestly, I don't understand why she wouldn't like it. Everybody got their own. I mean, what's the difference between hotel beds?
Australia, here is Ebony, the blonde bomber.
So our first contest of the night, Ebony Bridges back in action for the first time since that, well, absolute barnstormer against Shannon Courtney for WBA regular bantamweight world title. As I say, Beck Conley, long been the late notice opponent, has some mileage and some rounds banked now. What has she got to offer if this one goes down the stretch? Scheduled for 8.
Good right hand for Bridges there. Yeah, Beck Connolly, I see her about an hour ago. She was nervous, but really looking forward to the contest. And like you say, she's had the full camp, and she's desperate to get a win here. In the other corner, Ebony Bridges is exactly the same. She proves that she's more than just a social media presence. She can fight, she's tough, she's rugged. Doesn't leave her head there a little bit too long at times. She's got good, ferocious, quick hands, but she can be hit in return. She needs to move her head a little bit, move her feet.
Of course, Connolly coming in a career low of 119 pounds. She's only been stopped. She came in about 132, 133 pounds against both Harper and Natasha Domus. Well, I'd say more natural weight division for her. Of course, it's been hard work to get down to this weight, which she never has before. And of course, we don't know how that will affect her punch resistance. We know that Bridges can bang a little bit. Courtney confirmed that. She gets through with a pushing right hand as a two lock up with just 10 seconds on the clock in round number one.
Taught me about the head there. She lets her hands go, but there's no head movement, so it's quite easy to catch. Beck Conley having some success there.
She's been out in Philadelphia, Paul Crowell's gym, South Philly, training with Eddie Reese, the NBA super lightweight world champion. Been regular styling partners.
You want to see all these over there. Beautiful jab to the body.
Reese says she's been great prep for her own upcoming application with Diana Brazak, the Bacon Ivo up and grounds not quite till 20th in California. Yeah. She's quite highly of Chantel Cameron. I just wonder whether we'll see those two get it on in the future. But she's part of the Bridges team, as she has been in 5 weeks gone by. Said they've been implementing a few tricks and tools that should see a slicker performance, but well, she did get on her feet and a little bit too involved in those first couple of minutes, Darren. And Beck Conley in the fight as well. How will this one progress into round two, our opening night of the second week of fight camp? And Naki Fiaz on the non-broadcast part of the show. She's just had close victory over Kevin Balaspino.
Left foot from Bridges. Just pushing that jab out a bit too much. I can see her throw it with a bit more snap. A bit more speed in the backhand. It's a body shot.
Beck Conley, of course, had a change of trainer myself. She was with Paddy Fitzpatrick for about 8 years. He retired during the pandemic, which it was difficult for her. She felt he would see her rattle. Catches a right hand just on the inside by Bridges there with the two lock up. She was trained by Mike Reese and then Andy O'Kane, who some good credentials, and well, she's just up against it here on the ropes. She's been working a little bit with Gav Burrows, who of course originally put the game plan together for Rachel Ball, where she was due to fight Ebony Bridges. So he's a good person to have in her corner tonight.
Yeah, lovely bloke, Gav. Good action there in the second round. Both letting the lever fly.
Getting caught with a right hand down a little bit tall there. Beck Conley hit the left hook.
When she throws the left hook, Beck Conley, she just leaves her right hand a little alone. She's a sucker to a counter left hook.
Now, Conley said to me this morning, she said, I hope she doesn't try and box and move and show too much. She said, I'd like her to stand and trade. She said, I know she can punch. She said, but I've got a good chin, and this is right up my street. And
she's got to get her hands up, Chris. She's keeping far too low. She's letting her shots go.
Entertaining second round. Bridges got the better of the last minute or so of that.
Shoulders on me.
Tough girl, they're back on the lead.
Yeah.
And one thing that she will have trust in, as well as her chin tonight, is her conditioning.
Yeah,
that's right.
When you
find
them
shot,
yeah, she's stuck in her head. Yeah, yeah. Keep your guard tight.
Bring
that up and
grab her arm. He's got a great deal more for Eddie Scotty too.
Keep your left hand tight.
We started pretty
yeah.
well against those,
then,
which I didn't have enough to sustain it down the stretch. But as you say, she's vulnerable up close when she's letting her hands go. We're just finding those gaps already.
Yeah, she's working well with a backhand, Bridges, just pushing, like I said, in that last round with the jab, forcing it out, the post is smacking it out, but landing the right hand really well, and there's evidence of Tommy's chopping the right hand, which is the shot, so you've got to be careful of that. If you're going to drop the hand, try and move your head at least, not to be stood right in front of your opponent.
Bridges leads off with a left hook. Face of Beck Connolly just reddened now, trying to feint away into range, but Bridges isn't responding.
Yeah, Kelly Reese, when we had her on the show a while back, I won't use the word she used, but she says she has ridiculous strength. And you can see it in there. She really does push herself and force herself onto her opponent. A bit predictable, comes in straight line, pushes the jab out, like I said, but he does follow it up, usually with a good, powerful backhand.
Yeah, she's perfect sparring for Kelly Reese. Barbara Sasak, unification. Stature-wise, style-wise, too. Nice right hand over the top there from Ebony Bridges. Lands a 1-2. Beck Connolly responds just a little wide with these hooks.
Chin down, hands up, chin down, Beck Connolly. Leaving out to try up a good overhand right from Ebony Bridges. Bringing him up. That was a lovely right uppercut, Chris. Beautiful shot. She's hurt here. Beck Connolly with 50 seconds on the clock. Don't think she wants to know it, Chris.
Right hand over the top from Ebony Bridges, and it's all over for Beck Connolly. How she knew, didn't she, when she touched down, that it was all over, but the referee was right to give her one more chance, and smart to step in as quickly as he did, one more clean shot, and that was it, the right hand over the top, but I think the writing was just on the wall for it. Well, a great shame for a young woman who's come in and saved many a night for prospects and champions alike. She was given her opportunity tonight, but well, Ebony Bridges has been working hard and perhaps just seeing some of the fruits of her labour. I wonder what Shannon Courtney and Rachel Ball would have made of that.
It was impressive. It was a slow first round, I must say. She's pouring that jab out, like I said, and got caught a couple of times, but that was a lovely, I think it was a right uppercut there. Beautiful shot, picked it so well. She can definitely punch. Here we go, and that big overhand right.
You see, she felt that on the jaw as
she
well.
Did,
the way she was moving her mouth too. I think that was the follow up, and
oh, she misses with the uppercut. So it was that overhand right that started it all and caused the damage. And when she got up, she just looked despondent. She didn't look like she wanted to be there. And the ref done exactly the right thing there. That was enough. But good performance from Bridges, and she'll be looking, no doubt, at trying to get back in there with Courtney.
Be very interesting to see how that round robin plays itself out. Looking at the rankings, Yelena Munoz, Juliana Villa, Mariana Juarez, Maria Cecilia Roman. Of course, Dina Thorsland, newly crowned WBO champion from about a month ago now, two-weight world champion in the mix as well. All of those to come, and all of those far more experienced than the women that you're watching here in the ring, and of course, Shannon Courtney and Rachel Ball too. The saga to play out for both of them, but another win for Ebony Bridges, who is all smiles. Let's head over to your MC with the official result, David Diamante.
Ladies and gentlemen, referee Kieran McCann called the halt in this contest. The official time of the stoppage, 1 minute and 22 seconds of round number three. Your winner by RFC, Ebony, the Blonde Bomber.
So another win for Ebony Bridges. She moves to 6-1 with 3 knockouts to open the show here, Fight Camp 2021. And there is plenty of heavyweight action still to come.
Different breed of fighter. Nothing but blood and pain.
Babbage fight in one way and one way only.
This fight is getting done in four rounds by a clean knockout.
Everyone doubts me. I've come here, I've made a statement, so don't doubt me no more.
I'm going to go in there and do a number on him. This is the pinnacle of the sport, D5 of Fight Camp.
Ebony Bridges once again showing that she means business. I mean, I'm not going to lie, I think it's great what she's doing. She shows you can wear what you want and still smash someone's face in. So, best of both worlds. What do you think about that last fight?
It was a very good performance. Beck Connolly was out of it. Beth, I think the thing that impressed me the most is I've seen her stop against the likes of Tasha Jonas and Teddy Harper, but they're much bigger girls and they're much heavier. I think that's the first person to stop her who's had a similar weight, and she's had plenty of notice. So it's pretty impressive from Ebony Bridges. You know, the shots she's landing, she's getting them off. And she shows she's got power at this weight.
Yeah, she had a game plan from the start. She was coming out, she's taking her head off the line with the jab, and she was always looking for that right hand. And as soon as she landed it, she had the instinct to follow up. She could see the shaking in Beck Conley's left leg, and she just went straight for her. And it was a good finish and a good stoppage by the referee too.
Yeah, well, obvious rematches. Shannon Courtney again, or maybe Rachel Ball. What are you thinking?
I think the Shannon Courtney one is the one she wants. I think that's the one that makes most sense because she's got something to prove. There's a bit of needle and a bit of history there. So why not? You know, Rachel Ball is a really good fighter. And, you know, everyone would like to see that fight also. So she's got a few things now that's all going to open more doors, and it gives her options going forward.
Yeah, and with a personality and, you know, she brings a lot to the table, and that win will add, you know, more bargaining chips for her. She showed that she can punch her, and it's a great performance by her, you know, so she's put her name in the people's conscience now.
Yeah, very well done. Anyway, guys, Ebony is down with Laura now having a chat.
Maya, thank you very much. And Ebony, first of all, a massive congratulations. Second fight here in the UK. How good does it feel? Another win.
Oh, amazing. You know, to be back here in the UK and to get a win, get my hand raised this time. Last time I was unlucky. Although, you know, it still came with good reception, but it was good to get in here, get my hand raised for my fans. I have a few people here supporting me. So thank you. Shout out to all everyone that came. I seen you there with your Aussie flags. I appreciate you. And yeah, it was great.
Beck, you've got a lot of support against Beck, and not just against Beck, in your career in general, for being entertained, not just inside the ring, but outside the ring as well. But putting these wins together as well, how important is it for you to progress?
Of course, you know, wins is what it's about, you know. It's all good having the fan base and the social media presence and, you know, the love and that. But if you're not winning, like, it's, you know, it can only go so far. So wins are, of course, important. So, yeah, this was good.
How hard was it against Beck? Because we knew she had a full camp. Yeah. You said it would be the best version of her. Was it?
Well, I don't know because I haven't fought her any other times. But, I mean, I felt like she was, you know, she was a bit, she was more difficult in the sense that she was holding and a bit rough on the inside. Like, a bit, I don't know. I was struggling because usually, like, when I sit in the inside, like, a bang, but she was, like, holding a lot. So I think that made it quite – that was new for me. I'm not used to people holding as much. But, no, it was good. I mean, look, I thought I would finish it in the later rounds. I knew I was going to break it down. As you can see, the first few rounds, all I was just aiming for the body because I just wanted to break her body down so then I could open her up to the head, and that's exactly what we did. You know, that's what our plan was to go to the body, bring her hands down even more, and then open, and go for the right. So by the third round, I had already had her hands dropping from going to the body, and then that's why that right hand was landing, and that's the one that stopped it, you know. So, yeah.
Ebony, they want to know. They've been speaking about it in the studio. I know you've been quite vocal about it before, even before this fight as well. Who do you want next?
Well, obviously, I want the rematch with Shani. You know, that's what everyone wants, not just me. I know I want it. You know, the fans want it. Pretty sure Eddie Hearn wants it. You know, I've said it, the only one that doesn't want it is her. So, you know, hopefully she wants it. But then again, you know, she's on her journey and I've got to focus on me. I don't hold my breath. So, you know, it just goes what's happening. But, yeah, really the ball's in her court. And if she doesn't take it, I suppose it looks like a bit like she's running. But whatever you want.
Ebony, because you've been so brilliant and we love having you back here.
Thanks.
I feel like you should have the last word. So to your fans that are watching.
Yeah, to all my fans and everyone that supports me, I hope you enjoyed tonight. You know, I love being back in UK. I love being on DAZN. It's a great platform as well as Matchroom and Eddie Hearn. So big thank you to Eddie Hearn, Matchroom and DAZN for tonight. Big thank you to all my fans for always supporting me. This is just the comeback, and I look forward to just keep winning from now and get stronger and stronger each time. So thank you. Keep supporting, keep following, and I'll keep entertaining.
Well said, Ebony. Back to you guys.
Thanks, guys.
Ebony Bridges, everyone, and there is plenty more action still to come here tonight. But remember to check out all of the content on DAZN, including the behind-the-scenes series on the president of Spanish side, Real Valladolid, the one and only footballing legend, Ronaldo.
People call me O Fenomeno. But here, they call me El Presidente.
They were a relatively ordinary club who suddenly has an absolutely extraordinary president.
Ronnie, ¿qué hace querer? Porque es una persona auténtica.
Están todos ricos.
Ya hay más de una decena de...
News breaks that seven Valladolid players are being investigated for match fixing.
Valladolid's big problem is scoring goals, and of course they are owned by one of the greatest goal scorers of all time.
Son más duros el presidente que es el jugador, que es una tontería.
Eight years since they first met, Kid Galahad and Jazza Dickens renew their rivalry here tonight. Will it be a repeat for Galahad or revenge from the man from Liverpool?
Boxing's my identity. Since I've been 12 years old, boxing's been me. I want to unify. I want to win all the belts. When I'm asked, what would you like to fight for? Who would you like to fight? And I said, of course, I want to get out of fight. I will win by all means necessary.
Now, Jazza Dickens' career didn't look to be going anywhere a few years ago after a couple of big defeats. I know that's a bit harsh, but, you know, he's done better now. He's rebounded brilliantly to earn his shot at the world title.
There's a feeling that you get just as you're going into the ring and just before you go to touch gloves. It's a rush that you can't find anywhere else.
This is the Catholic primary school, Holy Cross, where I went to. It was brilliant. Brilliant. I remember fighting on the nursery yard there. My first fight was on that yard. Draw cards out of there. I was mischievous, yeah. Probably say I was borderline naughty.
Life is tougher than boxing, and I always knew that. So I never ever let boxing discourage me because of what I come to in life.
I had a place to go, a place to run, you know what I mean? A place to put all my feelings into. It become my identity.
I come out of a family environment of heroin addiction. I developed an eating disorder. First thoughts when you wake up is, what am I going to eat? What am I going to do? How am I going to damage myself? Basically, that's what it is. I've thrown up a lot and I've shown myself a lot of love by overcoming that. I think by letting that go, I've just took the chains off myself. I've let myself flourish. My dad installed into me, I'm in with her. I can do anything I want in life. To the point where, even if them two people told me now that he can't, I would tell them that they're liars, do you know what I mean? It doesn't make sense for me not to be world champion. I'm too invested. Nobody trains like me. Nobody sacrifices like me either. And I think I have to give them little 1% in every area to be the best that I can be, to be the best in the world.
Very strong of him there to open up. I mean, yeah. You can truly see how much it means to him. What kind of character is Jazza?
He's a person who's just unbelievable. You know, I've said this a couple of times this week. If you took his story to a director, he'd say, we can't do that because it's just too unrealistic. You know, we can't put this into him. So he's fascinating. He's amazing. He's brilliant at what he does. The lifestyle that he's come from is just, I can't believe he's actually here now, Maya. So I'm proud of him. I'm made up for him. And tonight, hopefully he can realise his dreams. But as I've said before, and I'll say again, it's an extremely hard fight. And he's got it all to do here. And Kid Galahad is obviously the betting favourite going in, as for some real world-class fighters.
But Jazza.
Yes.
He's got three losses, but Guillermo Rigondo.
Yes.
Thomas Patrick Ward, who's a world-class fighter himself, ready to knock on the door for a world title. And then the Galahad fight, you know, which was very early in their careers and their first real test for both men.
Yes.
So there is a case to be made for him. And when you watch a video like that and you see him open up like that, you're kind of rooting for him now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Even though, you know, I hope you're unbiased, but he is the underdog.
Yeah.
Galahad's a fantastic fighter. Awkward. Horrible to fight. Ties you up strong physically.
Yeah.
Uses all the tricks, the dark arts. but also can box really, really well and punch really, really well. So, yeah, Galahad's probably the favourite, but Jazz is in with a sharp.
I was going to say, would you think that Jazz is the most improved fighter in Britain? Could you say that?
It's hard to say the most improved fighter because, you know, he's at a stage where when he suffered defeats, he's well into his career, 20 fights and whatever have you. So it's not so much improvement, it's that he adapts.
Yeah.
You know, he's a fighter that can change. You know, if you look at his last three fights, he's beat two. We've just seen last week, Lee Woody became world champion in Zoukan. Jazz had defeated him two fights previously. And the way he defeated him was completely different to the way he defeated Walsh. So, you know, he's shown that he can adapt and change. The thing that I'll say about Galahad is he stayed in the same place with the same surroundings for his whole career. Now, that's okay for some fights, but for me personally, looking at it, I just think it's so good to make a move sometimes. Andy, you've been, in my opinion, the greatest trainer who ever lived, without the late, great Emmanuel Stewart. But you've also been around the likes of Adam Booth. You've been around the likes of, you know,
Sugar Hill.
All of these guys, you've been around him, so you'll know how much a change can be sometimes as good as a fresh start, and it can help.
Yeah, it certainly can. Galahad is ingrained in that English style. You know, he's a pure product of that environment. And, you know, whether we'll see more from him or will he be the same fighter? You know, will he add his... Like I said before, this is a rematch, and Galahad was the winner. And the emphasis will be... he'll just try and keep things the same. But the emphasis will be on Dickens to bring something different.
He's losing that fight, Andy, though. After 10 rounds, he stops Jazza, but he's actually behind on points. So it was a really close, hard fight.
Yeah.
And there's history there. But as you've said, at the end of the day, he does win Galahad.
The one thing about this fight, as what we saw with Lee Wood, the activity is on Jazza's side.
Yeah.
You know, he's had three fights recently. And that played a big role in Lee Wood's success last week. So we're building a case for Jazza here. He is the underdog. But all these things go in his favour.
Well, I mean, I've got to ask you about someone that I know it's going to mean a massive deal to, Georgie Bonn.
Yeah.
Talk me through this guy, because he's loved.
The godfather of Liverpool professional boxing. Everybody knows Georgie. Everybody respects Georgie massively. This would be the first time he's trained a world champion. And it would just be brilliant for him. It really would. You know, Jazza has got the opportunity of a lifetime. He's been helped massively by his advisors, his team, by myself. But ultimately, he's the one who does the job. He's the one who goes in there and does the work. And it all rests upon his shoulders. Now, Andy touched upon something there that was very relevant. Inactivity is the biggest killer to professional fighters, without a shadow of a doubt. And Kid Galahad, 18 months out the ring, three fights in 3 years. That only means that he hasn't had to make weight for a long time. This is the first time he's made weight in 18 months. It's a long time, Andy. And it showed on them scales, in my opinion. But doesn't matter what we say or what any of our opinions are, Jazza has to go in there and prove it. And so does Kid Galahad, because it means just as much to Kid Galahad as it does to Jazza Dickens.
There we go. Well, another fighter who knows Jazza really well is Josh Warrington. And he's with Laura now, catching up.
Maya, thank you very much. Josh, they were just saying the fact that you know Jazza well as well. In fact, you used to spar with him back in the day.
Yeah, when me and Jazza, coming up to 8 years ago now, when we were just contenders, neither of us had a box for a title, and obviously we dreamed of opportunities, like fighting for world titles and stuff like that, and a lad who was full of character, always full of witty banter, and we had some good spars together, learned a lot off each other.
I mean, it's pretty obvious, it's pretty well known as well. Kid Galahad had not been in the ring for 18 months. The difference between him and Jazza is huge. Jazza's had three fights, that means making weight three times, having three full camps as well. Guys are saying, look, the biggest problem with fighters is that not fighting, that inactivity. How much an advantage is it for Jazza?
It's massive to be active. I mean, I've paid that price in my last fight. You know, inactivity is good for nobody. You know, you can spar as much as you want. You can be in the gym, like, doing as much training, but you're dealing with someone else under the lights. You're dealing with pressure. You're dealing with nerves. And their mate-on's gloves, it's a lot different compared to having big sparring gloves on. So, obviously, the momentum and form is in Jazza's favour, and that could play a part of it tonight.
If Kid Galahad is the favourite, what is it about Jazza that Kid Galahad might find difficult?
Kid Galahad just has a way of nullifying people's work. He's very good at the infighting and spoiling tactics, so as soon as you get a bit of momentum going, a little bit of work going, he can slow all that down and stop you and just smooth you up, and that becomes frustrating over time. So Jazza's got to stay, he's got to stay patient, he's got to stay strong-minded as well.
All right, Josh, thanks very much. Maya,
no
back
problem.
To you.
Thank you. Jazza Dickens against Kid Galahad coming up later, but the first of three heavyweight fights next with the Romford Bull, Essex's very own Johnny Fisher.
For Ready, I feel like I've been prepared very well, and that gives you a good bit of confidence moving into a fight week. Even when I was at university, I wasn't a professional then, but even then, as a sports person, as an amateur boxer, I wasn't drinking or going out too late. I was always focused on what I wanted to do, and I think that discipline from a young age has really helped me, because in boxing, there is no hiding place. My strengths is the fact that I am strong in general, physically strong. I've got a great desire to win. I've got a good disciplined mind as well, and I think that's the most important thing. If you're in control of your mind and your discipline, then everything else can fall into place. My style is sort of instinctively aggressive. That is, my instinct is to be aggressive and to fight, but I want to show people that I can box as well. Danny Whittaker, worthy opponent, winning record, and it's going to be a good test for me on Saturday, and that's what I need if I want to develop. It demands my respect. It demands my best performance, so I've got to be ready to go. When I get into that ring, it's just me and Danny Whittaker, and that's what it comes down to. The best man will win.
Ladies and gentlemen, from Matchroom HQ, we are set to go with our next contest of the evening. Four rounds of boxing scheduled in the heavyweight division. And now, set to make his ring walk, here is Danny, Big Dog Whittaker.
Right, there he is, the big dog, Danny Whittaker from Silsden near Keith Lee. A very credible opponent for Johnny Fisher's third outing as a pro. He beat John Pallata in the Ultimate Boxer Tournament a couple of years ago. Not a name that will roll off the tongue for most of you, but a very well-schooled amateur who was also 7-0 as a pro when they met. It was an underrated win on his CV. He was taken apart in slightly strange fashion by David Adelaide. He hit around the back of the head a couple of times and hit when he was on a knee before it was waved off. I think there is a chance that if Fisher is as powerful and accurate as he seems to be, that he could have too much for Whittaker here. But he's effective fighter since that defeat. Came back and fought for the Central Area title last time, and I thought personally he'd done enough to win against Chris Healy. It was close, it was grueling, and they did share the best part of 10 rounds together. So you are looking at a guy who could quite easily be Central Area champion right now. He's got plenty about him, a decent combination of seasoning and fight experience, and he will believe that gives him an advantage over a strong, very promising, but a very green pro in Johnny Fisher tonight.
And now, set to make his ring walk, please welcome Johnny, the Romford Bull Fisher.
Well, it is said these days the heavyweight talent pool is a bit diluted, because guys who are built like Johnny Fisher get fast-tracked from a young age into some of the more mainstream team sports, rugby here, basketball and NFL in the US. You wonder how many heavyweights we may have lost to those sports over the last few years, and what might happen if some of them chose boxing instead. But Johnny Fisher has done exactly that. 6'5", 250 pounds at just 22. Been involved in boxing since he was young, but was playing rugby at Exeter University, which for those of you who follow it will know that's a good standard of competition in itself. And I think it would have been a fairly obvious route for him to continue on were it not for a conversation with Sam Jones a couple of years ago, one that led to him sparring Joe Joyce in the lead-up to the Dubois fight. He handled himself brilliantly, and since then, he's turned professional. He's 2-0 with two knockouts, so the jury, of course, is a long way out. We won't expect a verdict anytime soon, but he's powerful. He put his shots together well. He's got quick hands, and he's a lot more relaxed and fluid than his solid frame suggests that he might be. When you combine that with a studious head and a good teacher in his corner in Mark Tibbs, you can't help but be intrigued by Johnny Fisher in these early stages of his career. He's got a good following locally. To expect when those first crowds arrive back into arenas, he'll have some good support from Romford's finest. And he is, of course, the Romford Bull, Big Johnny Fisher.
Come on, Big Dog!
Ladies and gentlemen, from Matchroom HQ, live on DAZN, we are set to go with a special heavyweight attraction. It's all being brought to you courtesy of Mr. Eddie Hearn of Matchroom Boxing. We're sponsored by Betfred, StubHub, Wow Hydrate, and JD Sports. At the sound of the bell, your third man in the ring from Oxy, referee Lee Every. And now, ladies and gentlemen, four rounds of boxing scheduled in the heavyweight division. Introducing first, fighting out of the red corner, standing with the set trainer, Kevin Marie. He wears the white trunks with the gold trim. He scaled 18 stone, 7 pounds, 6 ounces. His professional record, 4 wins against 3 defeats.
Fighting out of Silsden, here is Danny. He's going Whitaker. Whitaker.
Come on, big dog.
And his opponent across the ring fighting out of the blue corner. He wears the black trunks with the red trim. He scaled 17 stone, 1 pound, 3 ounces. His young professional record thus far perfect. 2 fights, 2 victories, and they both came by way of knockout. Fighting out of Romford, here's the 6'5" bruiser, Johnny, the Romford Bull Fisher. Fisher.
And the third pro contest in the heavyweight apprenticeship of the Romford Bull, Johnny Fisher. It's the fourth round of this, and the interesting for Danny Whittaker, Darren, who has boxed 10 in his last round, how he goes back and kind of renegotiates the distance, which has gone up. It's difficult to know what pace to manage the round. Certainly we know what kind of pace Johnny Fisher will start at.
Especially when you've got a guy so as big as Johnny Fisher in front of you. You want to go flat out for 4-3s, but it's probably not the best advice when you fight someone as big as Johnny, who is a man mountain. He really is 22 years old. It's incredible. Throws a lovely overhand right.
Just took the sting out of it with Whittaker by turning his head to the right-hand side. Just took the sting out of it. He would have felt the force. Just tries to come over the top with his own, but misses. Speaking to the guys that have sparred Fisher, he just lands another chopping right on the inside there. Fabio Wardley in particular, so he's much looser and quicker than you think he's going to be. He looks like a rugby player, and they're not notoriously loose and fluid. Bends his way into range, right hand to the body, left up over the top, Whittaker backs into the corner already.
Just telegraphing that right hand a bit too much, Fisher. Whittaker's able to right it and get out of the way. Strong, aggressive start from Johnny Fisher.
As you say, there isn't really time for Whittaker to hold man him and try and fiddle his way into the later half of the contest, because we are in a four-rounder here.
Good chance to body.
He's already just felt the early pressure from big Johnny Fisher, just tried to push him off, give himself some space with a little over a minute to go in this opening frame.
That was nice. He fainted the right hand. Whittaker moved to the right, and he's a nice, short, sharp left to the body, Fisher. It's better getting his head moving, Fisher.
Catches a left at counter. Right hand was in a decent defensive position. That's what Danny Whittaker does do as well. Just remind you that he's there.
Just missing there, Chris. Very spiteful. He's a very good finisher as well, Johnny Fisher. He's got his man hurt. He does not let him off the hook. Just trying to land a counter on the ropes, Whittaker.
Holding his feet to range, feints, looking for an opening. Forces the lead from Whittaker, steps back and then steps on him again. 10 seconds to go.
He's fit as a fiddle, Johnny Fisher. Really is. Good opening round for him.
I believe we've got other heavyweights who have arrived. This is Alan Babich. Well, we know who that is on the right. The man who discovered him.
I know. That's why I came. You know, I was like, you know, I wasn't going to come. But I was like, you know, I have to go and see the guys. A big fight for you and a big fight for Fabio. I'm going to try to work out with you guys, but...
So, well, we didn't know a great deal about Alan Babich about 18 months ago, other than Dillian White said that he could really, really fight. Brought him in, of course, as a sparring partner for the Oscar Rivas fight, and since then, most UK boxing fans know exactly who he is. He's in a decent scrap after this with Big Mark Bennett, giving away £62 in that contest. And Dillian White, of course, knows what it is like to taste defeat in this very arena.
We've got to know Alan quite well. I don't think I'll be putting any pranks on him again, because I think I'm getting a bit too comfortable on him. I'm a bit worried that I'm going to get laid out at one point.
Yeah, I'm going to hit you an accident. Well, Ali Whittaker, a short lesson there, but I think Fisher clipped him on the way down as well. Not the first time that's happened to him. It happened to him against David Adelaide. Yeah. He was warned for that in that fight. Fisher obviously didn't mean anything by it at all. He was just letting his hands go, and he apologised. But well, Whittaker is hurt here, and Fisher stepping on him. Whittaker backs off, catching the right hand around the side, and Whittaker goes down on the knee again. And the big dog is in big trouble, because he's in with a ball tonight and he's been taken apart here. And there's 2 minutes to go in the round, and Johnny Fisher senses blood, putting his hands together. Referee Lee Every having a look. Oh, Whittaker falls in the corner, having a save to fight another day. And the run for ball rolls on. Johnny Fisher sensed the moment, and he did not hesitate.
No, he didn't. He's a fantastic finisher. He got his man hurt at the start of the round. He just did not let him off the hook. Thankfully, Whittaker was okay. He smiled, but he was under real pressure there. That was a great stoppage. Good performance, and the Rockford ball goes on. He does indeed. He was boxing patiently at range, picking his shots well, and not rushing, but when the opportunity came, he stepped on it. I think there was a shot that went in as he was on the way down there, Whittaker, but I don't think there was any intention from Johnny Fisher untoward. He apologised straight away, just fainted in with the right hand, chopped one down, and then as he was on the floor, right hand came in. And listen, Darren, you know as a fighter, sometimes you're just in the flow of letting your hands go. Yeah, you are. You know, you see that red mist and you're just letting your hands go. It's a fight at the end of the day. He just telegraphed the first one, overreached with the right hand, then he
checked himself, didn't he?
Exactly, and finished with the second one. That's something he's got to work on. Just, he was forcing that right hand a bit, just overreaching with it, falling over his front foot. But like I said, he's a very good finisher. He had his man hurt. Whittaker was trying to move, stay away from him, and there was a cupping right hand over the back of the head of Whittaker, and he felt the power of that from the bigger, younger, fresher man.
Yeah, just touched down the middle, came round the side as well, temple, and then another one, as you say, just round the side of the head, scrambled the senses. And well, I think Lee Every was fair in giving Whittaker every chance that he possibly could, but he was right to jump in when he did to save the big dog to fight another day, because that is some seriously heavy hands. You can hear the weight of those from ringside, and you can hear the rain potentially as well, just crashing against our comments. You might hear ringside. Well, we kept our fingers and toes crossed for everlasting sunshine, but unfortunately the weather has finally betrayed us here at Matchroom HQ, and we're getting battered by the rain. But you know what, that's part of an outdoor event. That's always the risk you take. England in August, eh? Fantastic. Well, Johnny Fisher and Danny Whittaker are standing by. Whittaker is okay, thankfully, and David Diamante is also standing by with our results.
Ladies and gentlemen, referee Lee Every called a halt to this contest. The official time of the stoppage, 1:08 of round number 2. The winner by RSV, he's still undefeated, Johnny, the Rockford Bull Fisher.
So under heavy rainfall, Johnny Fisher records his third win as a professional fighter, knockout of big Danny Whittaker. And the Romford Bull here at Fight Camp rolls on.
So we shouldn't expect too much, as is obviously a work in progress, not much amateur experience, and this is only his third fight tonight. How do you feel that went down?
It is what it is, to be honest, Maya. At this stage of his career, you know, you expect him to get rid of guys like that, and he looks fast, he looks powerful. What I will say is, when these guys start hitting back and they start adjusting to you and you start fighting guys who are a bit better, who take you around, he's going to have to change his approach to these fights, because when you go out there hell for leather like that, being a big man like he is, it takes an effect on you and your energy soon zaps and drains. You know, it's good.
Yeah, but it's all a part of the learning process, and, yeah, and that will come, you know, when he does fight guys who show him a little bit more resistance or have a little bit more guile about them. But so far, for his third fight, it's perfectly good stage for progress for him to be fighting this type of opponent,
yeah,
and learn his job. And he's aggressive, naturally aggressive, And he has a bit of a throwback, old-fashioned kind of a style, you know. But he's a big lump, and if he keeps progressing the way he is, he's going to be...
Doesn't look like he's scared to get it, Andy. Everyone keeps telling me his chin's granite. That's going to get tested as he goes on, as we know.
I mean, did you have a granite chin?
I wouldn't say granite, mate. I mean, I never, ever was knocked out. I was always up on my feet, but I went down a fair number of times, mate. It's part and parcel of boxing, unfortunately. You know, you can't go in the water without getting wet.
Right. Well, we've seen that he's been sparring with the likes of Joe Joyce, Fury. Is that the right step then? That's obviously helped him a lot.
Yeah, and he's got a great man in his corner, the world of experience in Mark Tibbs, and whose dad, it was Jimmy Tibbs, who's still involved as well. So he's got a great team, management, got the sparring, and he's been offered around for sparring. They're eager to go sparring. They want to come spar Joseph Parker. They want me every day to come spar Joseph Parker as well.
Right.
He's hungry for success, and he's very dedicated, and it's just a work in progress for him.
All right, well, hopefully a big future ahead. We are literally in the middle of a thunderstorm right now. Over to you, Laura. It is a bit of a thunderstorm. Luckily, we're undercover. But listen, Johnny, congratulations. Another brilliant display for you. You said that you just need these rounds. How was it?
Yeah, brilliant. It's brilliant. Listen, massive respect to Danny Whitaker. I've had a great team. Mark Tibbs, Steve Andrews, everyone's helped me massively. And I've got a long, long way to go. I've never said anything else, but that was a good performance. Another stoppage to add to the list.
On paper, one of your most difficult opponents. How did you feel it went throughout the fight for you?
I think I was a lot more controlled than my second fight. I think that's testament to the work we've been doing with Mark in the gym. We've put a lot of rounds in, a lot of hours in, but there's still so much more to come. I'm a novice in this sport, and as I progress and more of my supporters come with me, we'll have a fun journey.
That support is huge for you as well, and not just the Romford support, but your uni support as well.
Yeah, I went to Exeter University. I've got some great support down there. And listen, when we go out in Romford, we fight round here, we're going to have great support. The Country Roads group we've got going, we've got a fantastic group with us, so you can hear them all now.
I know, they're rowdy, aren't they? I can hear them, I can see them all. Let's talk about your sparring partners, because a few of them in the crowd there watching you on. I mean, when you want to get in there and spar with someone, pretty good ones to be alongside.
Yeah, listen, I've got some great sparring under my belt. No one better than Joe Joyce has really guided me through my career so far. And I owe a lot to him. He's the one who showed me the ropes in professional boxing, and hopefully we can have a good, prosperous journey together.
Absolutely. What's next for you? What do you want?
What's next? Whatever Sam Jones and my manager Adam Morley say. I'm going to have a nice Chinese first, obviously, with my dad. Some Kung Fu prawns, but after that, we'll get on to the next fight.
Excellent. Listen, Johnny, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Take care. See you soon.
Thanks very much.
Bye, back to you. Thank you. Three more live fights to come tonight, and plenty more action next week here at Fight Camp.
Times can either make you or break you. It was tough, but it made me.
This was the moment that Anthony Joshua became a major star.
I was just shouting at him, like, come on, let's fight, where you running?
This is the passion of Dillian Whyte.
I thought there was going to be riots in the crowd, I really did. In the space of 6 years, he's gone from being a raw novice to going in with one of the greatest heavyweights of all time.
You one shot away from trouble or disaster at any point.
That's a big team, and they're the type of fights that people remember for many years to come.
Grinding, doing what I love to do, sharpening the tools, keeping on top of everything, August the 7th, and the new. I'm not here to make friends and everything else. I'm when I get in there, I'm there to win.
World Championship Boxing coming up later when featherweights Jazza Dickens and Kid Galahad meet for the IBF title. Galahad's only defeat came against world champion Josh Warrington, but 2 years later, he has another opportunity to write his name alongside other great fighters that have come out of the steel city of Sheffield.
I enjoy it all, you know. The thing with me, I live the life, you know. To be an exceptional athlete, you've got to really love what you do. I was very, very mischievous. You know, you're always trying to do things to make money, and, you know, we did all sorts. Obviously, you're not proud of it. It was the petty stuff, you know, robberies and breaking into houses, just petty stuff. My job is being a professional fighter. My job isn't anything else. You can't take days off, but be full-time on it, and that's my mentality. I went to the local mosque on a Friday, and I seen this little chubby guy. And I looked, and it was Nassim Ahmed, and I said, Naz, I want to be a champion like you. What have I got to do to be a champion? He goes, look, there's a gym in Winkerbank. You need to find it. And there's a guy called Brendan Ingle. He'll make you into a champion. And, you know, I ran back home and said, Mum, we need to go and find this gym. Brendan was a very big inspiration for me because, you know, he spent a lot of time with me. And if it weren't for Brendan, I wouldn't be in this position. I'd be probably dead or locked up. All I ever wanted to be was, like, the baddest and the meanest gangster around. Until I met Brendan and Naz, that's when I knew I wanted to be a world champion. To be a fighter, you can't be, you know, all there. You've got to have a switching point. When it comes to fight, I take it very seriously. And I know when I'm in that ring, if I've got to die in that ring, then I'm willing to die. But I know I've done everything right. And, you know, I'll be 100% on point when I get in that ring.
Kid Galahad, Jazza Dickens, top of the bill tonight, alongside me, a man that knows him very well, has had his own fight with him, but this time just gets to stand and watch on, which must feel a little bit more comfortable, actually. Lots has been made about the fact that he has been inactive for 18 months.
Yep.
You've been there yourself, Josh, haven't you? You've been out for 15 months. How do you emulate those fight conditions heading into one?
Again, we touched on it earlier, Lauren. It's difficult to try and emulate them exact conditions because when you're sparring, you don't have the same jitters, the same nerves. You don't have 8-ounce gloves on, the brand new gloves. And on fight night, when you put them gloves on, you think, wow, you could do a lot of damage, but at the same time, you're going to take them as well. So there's little things just like that where it's never the same in the gym as being under the lights.
Mm. Here as well, it's not just being under the lights, it's being with fans around, which we miss the boxing, we miss the sport in general for such a long time, which can change a fight, though.
Yeah, of course. When how the crowd react to maybe an attack, or if you're ready to snaps back after a punch, a big roar goes up, you might enter your mind for a split second. Now, you won't have that again behind closed doors in a gym. So there's other factors, and it means more on the fight. You can get it wrong in training and sparring, but you can't get it wrong here, and you don't know when you're going to get your next opportunity.
Tony Bellew was saying that watching the weigh-in, Kid Galahad looked like he'd had to drop a lot, potentially. What did you think of the way he looked?
I thought that too. His eyes looked a little bit sunken. A few weeks back when they'd met in the back garden, when the fight had first been announced, I felt that he looked very stocky. But then when it comes to the weigh-in itself, I'm a little bit concerned there. And I think it's changed on how I think the fight might go, just from the weighing pictures themselves.
Is he your favourite? Because he's a bookie favourite.
Well, originally was, because he's only lost his against Moore. But, you know, he had a good win against Claudio Moreira. It looked pretty good there. But then, we spoke about it earlier again, you look at the run of form, just a fantastic run. And this week, he's looked so relaxed, he looks so calm, and he looks well up for it. So, and I think what's changed my mind is going off the weigh-in, watching the images from the weigh-in. So it was my favourite, but now I'm kind of set on the fence.
How is it going to be for Jazza as well going into this, knowing that he looks that way during the weigh-in, knowing that he's been inactive for the amount of months that he is? Is it easy to potentially let that trip you up?
I don't think he'd be looking so much to like what Kid's not done. He'll be just focused on what he can do. Mm. Obviously, he has met before, and Jazza will have that recent run of form going into his favour. But I think it's just that experience, what he's picked up off his last few fights, and, you know, what he's done over the last, well, since the box. So he'll be looking to stick to his own game plan. Like I say, he's looked for it. He'll think that this is his time, this is his destiny.
Jazza as well as Kid Galahad, both of them proper fighter backgrounds. We mentioned this before, really come through the hard way as well. The dedication is ridiculous. I mean, Kid Galahad even moves next door to his gym, didn't he?
Yeah, he does. It's widely known that I think he lives over the road from his gym. So he calls himself a gym rat. He works hard. I think most boxers are dedicated to the sport and they want it more than anything in life. And, you know, to win a world title is like, it's all that sacrifice, all the hard work has paid off. I think it'd be worth it even more. Obviously, they've both come from like losses in the past. So, you know, whoever wins the world title, it's going to be hard for that one who loses, and you know, bittersweet for that one who wins.
This is the thing, isn't it? When you've been on such a journey, you want that so much, and it feels harsh that somebody has to lose in this situation. How hard is it going to hit either of them?
Yeah, because you know, it'll be Kid's second attempt at world title. I think Jazz has boxed for a world title in the past, but he's boxed at a low weight against a pound for pound great as well. So, you know, it will be tough, but they can come back.
There you go. Kid Galahad being taped up in a moment. Just remind us as well, when you were fighting against him, because it was a close fight, just tell us why he's difficult. What his strengths are, Josh?
He surprised me with his inside work, the way that he was able to keep hold of me, like, and smother me, you know, nullify the work. Wasn't surprised about anything else. I know that he's a tricky fighter. I know that he can move well. I know that he can make it awkward to it. It's just for Jazza, he has to keep a strong mindset. He has to keep to his game plan. He has to stay focused throughout the fight.
You spoke earlier on about Jazza's personality and about how you've known him well. Kid Galahad's got quite a reserved way about him, doesn't he, when he speaks to the media and speaks to other fighters?
Yeah, he does, and sometimes I'm not even so sure that the way that he thinks, he believes half the stuff that he's saying, because, you know, there's some stuff that I've heard him say off camera, and then he said a completely different thing on camera, so I never know completely what you are going to get with him, but maybe that's just his way of covering it over, disguising it.
One more time, who wins?
Jazza wins. Jazza wins.
All right, there you go. Just
instinct.
Thank you very much. Maya, back to you. Kid Galahad and Jazza Dickens is our top of the bill for the vacant IBF World Featherweight title here at Fight Camp. Before then, a domestic heavyweight clash between the unbeaten Fabio Wardley and hard-hitting Nick Webb. That one is for the English heavyweight title. But next up, two more big guys in action. Mark Bennett faces unbeaten Croatian Alan Babic, who has become a real fan favourite since facing himself in the UK. Well, caught up with Alan Babic in this week's Days in Boxing show. Have a look at this.
I don't look at this as a game. You know? I really look at this as a life career, you know.
All bask in your defeat.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. I want your heart. I want to eat your children. That's what Tyson said. But I'm not very far from him, you know. And my style is just, I would describe it as abnormal. But this is actually the first fight that I'm not an underdog, and I don't like it. I feel much better as an underdog. I have a lot of love for boxing, and I love what I'm doing. I found my calling, you know. This is what I was made to do, and I think I can go as far as changing a few things in boxing. You don't have to be strong. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to look like Joshua. You don't have to do none of those things, and you can be successful. That is what I'm trying to say to everybody.
I don't do training, I do fighting.
I'm a little fat guy who wants to be a heavyweight. Everybody said I'm a favorite in this fight. I'm a top 5 bridgeweight in the world. If I can do it, everybody can do it.
So there you are in the changing rooms, Babic.
Always strong, always game, Maya. You know, this boy, he's got such a ferocious style. He's great. He's my favorite. Outside of my own personal stable of fighters, he is my favorite fighter in the country. I just love watching him. He's crazy.
Yeah, I did see him walking around camp earlier with a massive entourage.